Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how's it going? Hi, this is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. How are y'all doing? If you want to give a call and you get a reading from me, get some insights to the situation, get some questions answered, give us a call at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. Again, that's 646-721-9031. So if you want to get a reading, please do so. I'm just going to look at some things. And if you want to get a private reading where you can actually get your questions answered for only $1 a minute, give us a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com or through my email, which is psychicxjourneyman@live.com. Or you can come by our shop in Manitou Springs at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado, which is right across from the Mushroom Mondays and right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. So either way you want to go with the whole thing, you can also give us a call if you want to set up a time or make an appointment at 740-500-8863 is my cell phone, so you can reach me at any time. If I don't pick up right away, it means I'm already in a session, so I will give you a call back. So leave a number, and I'll call you back. All right. So if you want to get a reading tonight, just give us a call at 646-721-9031, okay? So let's get started with everything going on. And let's go to our first caller. That'll be area code 631, area code. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
I'm doing good. My name is Suzanne, and I wanted a reading, please, about my love life. Thank you for taking my phone call.
No problem. With the situation, you said your name is...
Suzanne,
and if you are in a relationship, I need the information of that person, first name, birthday.
Well, I like March 19th, not sure of the year. I liked him for a while now, and then I just wanted a date Sunday and tonight with somebody else because I wasn't sure about how the other person, if he liked me or not.
So you went out with somebody already, right?
Yeah, because... the person I've liked for a while, I don't think he likes me as much as I like him.
And why do you feel that way?
Because I've known him for a while, and I don't think he wants a relationship.
Okay, so I'm just asking. The reason I'm asking the question is everybody has these expectations. They don't realize you're looking at a relationship through your perception. You never heard the term walk in someone else's shoes? Well, really, see, what it means is it means to look at it from their point of view. You might actually get some...
I guess he doesn't want it, so I can't push the issue. So I have to move on.
Okay. It's just one of those things. I hear this all the time where people say they can't do certain things when it's the ideal of a fear that won't allow them to sit there and take that step. And the ideal of a person doesn't want something, we think it's offensive, which realistically is not. It's just the idea of asking questions. You know, the situation, because the reason I say that is because realistically when I look at a situation you're talking about with this particular person you're focusing on, that you say that you don't think... I get I can see both sides of the situation, and I get the impression you're basically going by what a person says and their actions, not what the true connection really is. There's a real strong connection there, and that's why I tell people all the time, actions and what people say out of their mouths is not going to tell you anything. You need to listen to yourself, listen to your own intuition, and what kind of connection that you have with that person, because obviously there's a connection there, because you're still looking at the situation and the possibilities because of how you feel. What's throwing you off and making you confused is the idea of a person's actions. And when people
I don't want to be alone because he doesn't have time for me and he doesn't want a relationship, so I don't want to spend my whole life alone on the hopes that he'll want a relationship one day.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the situation, from what I can see real clearly here, he said, well, let's see. This is really focused on the situation of strength. But you also get the impression of a relationship coming in. And this story I keep seeing over and over again is the person you don't think wants a relationship. I get the impression that 2 months from now, I get the impression you will meet somebody, because I don't feel like it's coming up anytime soon.
I'm going on a third date with somebody this Saturday.
I just don't get it. I don't get the impression with that one. I still feel like there's somebody coming in. You're talking to a person who doesn't even believe in dating. I believe in meeting a person and connecting, going with the connection, and that's what I go by. Not the idea of dating somebody, hoping I'll get what I want. It's the idea of what happens right off the bat. It's the idea of, we talk about soulmates and twin flames. I'm sorry, but those connections are a true spiritual connection and a soul connection that should be spontaneously, right after you meet them, you should know.
Well, it's weird. I thought that the minute I met the person I liked for a long time, but I asked him this a week ago if he wanted to have a relationship, and he said no.
Well, of course he's going to say no in that situation, because he doesn't want to feel it, because that's the thing I got the most. You could sit there and say, this guy doesn't want to have a relationship. And I feel like he's a contradiction, because when you sit there and got the answer, it didn't even resonate with you as he was even telling you the truth.
Yes, he did tell me the truth, and that's why I had to move on and go on this date that I'm going on today.
No.
And
what I'm saying is, listen to you, not what a person wants you to hear. Okay? This guy has more deeper feelings for you. He doesn't want to go there. You're right. You're thinking that if you sit there and wait for the situation to happen, you're thinking it's going to be a long time. I don't want to sit here and waste my whole life waiting for someone. Not realizing, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this connection itself is going to come around. But I also feel like you're going to be with somebody else when he comes forward and says, okay, I wasn't totally... Because you're saying he's telling you the truth. Based on what? Because of what he said?
Says and actions.
Okay. Well, I should say lack of action.
Yeah, lack of action.
Yeah, because the guy... See, the thing is, the most confusing part about what I pick up with a guy is he actually does really deeply care about you. You've known him for a long time, and it's also the same thing. Look at the situation of your fears. I don't want to wait forever for somebody. And then here's another guy on the other side. He has his own fears. But, it's like the idea of looking at the situation. Connections do not happen by people who don't feel the same. That's the most confusing part, because I've had women ask me the same thing. If the guy loves me, why come he doesn't want to be with me? That's your expectations of how fast it should happen, what you want. But it doesn't dismiss a person having feelings. They definitely exist.
Do you think it's because I'm older than him?
No, I think he's a jerk. Let's put it that way, okay? Here's a guy who has feelings for you. He's letting the world filter in, going, there's certain things. So you got to look at the age. It's not the age itself. It's the prejudice that goes along with it. I wish I would sit down and tell people age, no matter how old you are, has nothing to do with relationships and connections. They are what they are.
Well, why do you think you like me then?
Why wouldn't he like you? Don't you like yourself?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be smart or nothing. What I'm saying is, you look at yourself and you've got to sit there and have an attitude like this. Why wouldn't want somebody to be with me? Why wouldn't somebody love me or care about me? You're right. Why wouldn't they? They do. And you're sort of looking for justification why someone should like you, when realistically, in a true sense of what people look for. In the soul connection, sometimes it's just the idea. It's a fact. You just love somebody. because of how you feel about yourself. That's why I asked. When you unconditionally love yourself, you don't have to have compatibility to prove to you that there's a connection between the two people. You just know beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is the person I love. I just love this person. I don't know why. I just do. Why? Because true love and the true sense of love, okay, is you. And compatibility, I get that,
but I don't know. I'm just confused.
I'm just saying compatibility between two people enables them to let down the walls, to let down the resistance, to be able to share more of oneself. So if you look at the other side of the situation, the guy you're talking about, he's not allowing himself to share himself with anybody. But the point of the situation is, if he doesn't follow through with this, it's going to be an opportunity, and it could have been something more.
You're right.
But on the same note, I get the impression that there is a person, because I had this just not too long ago, where a person said, you're going to have a great relationship with this girl who just came into your life, just what you saw, but she's not your soulmate. She's a soul connection, but she's not a soulmate. You've already met her. And you're not going to meet each other again because of her not being on the same page. But does that mean I'm not going to be in a relationship? No, it doesn't. We're all destined to be with somebody. It's called, you know, companionship, that kind of stuff. And it can still be the same thing.
The person I liked was a soul connection, but not a soulmate.
No, I get the impression he's a soulmate. That's why he's so freaking scared of the whole freaking thing. That's what I'm saying. He doesn't realize in order to actually get the clarification of how he feels about you, he's going to have to interact, and he refuses to go there because of his fears. He's focusing on stupid crap and say, well, what happened? See, people understand that. Not everybody, but there are some people do. But the idea of what if has two sides. What if it does happen? What if everything I want does happen? What if everything I focus on, I get? But everybody's always focused on the negative part because they're still attached to past relationships. Well, they didn't get what they want. What happened to
me? I've known him for almost 2 years now, and if he keeps telling me he doesn't want a relationship, then I have to get it through my head.
Well, I was in the process of getting through your head, I would just turn and go, okay, he's lost. But I wouldn't look at the situation as anything was lost. That's what I'm saying. Because I also feel like there's someone coming in for you in the next 2 months.
Okay, and what are they like?
They're just like, how do you put this to people and saying you actually create everything in your life, so therefore what do you want?
I would like the person I like to like me more and have a relationship, but since he doesn't, I'd like to move on and meet somebody who does, that we both connect.
Okay, then take a step back and look at the person that you want to be with and the qualifications or qualities that he has, the characteristics and that kind of stuff. That will help you understand. Here you are attracted to a person that you wish would actually give you back what you've been giving, which will also give you the insights of the person you're going to meet. Okay, just because this person doesn't want to step forward and actually follow through doesn't mean those qualifications are not in somebody else. And that's what I got.
You think he's going to say, oh, I blew it in December when I meet the new person?
I don't think you're going to really care. Once you get into a relationship with this other person, you're going to sit there and go, it's great to actually be in a relationship with somebody who can actually follow through, but doesn't want to tell me bogus stuff or even the idea of his intentions of not following through. I feel like the relationship that's coming up in the next 2 months is something that you're going to be focused, dedicated to, and you won't care one way or the other if the guy's going to have to actually figure it out or not. That's something. And realistically, if you look at the situation, you have more important things to think about. The things that you're going to be acquiring into your own life. And you're going to find somebody who's going to be one of those things where you're really looking for someone to share their life with you. And that's what it's all about. There's nothing missing in your life. You're not a freaking, how do we put this? You're a whole, complete, perfect person. And people go, that's impossible. Oh, of course it is. You're feeding into your human side. That's why we have to get away from that human crap and start focusing on our spirit, which is perfection, which has no limitations. And you'll start looking at the situation going, okay, this person's feeding into his fears. When he feeds into his fears, he's more into the physical part. He's scared just of getting hurt. When you start focusing on your spiritual side, it talks about the idea of the opportunities and jumping into them, closing your eyes and jumping all the way. And I get the impression of the person you got coming in, for some reason, I keep picking up a person named Roy who's coming in the situation that's going to make you think in a different direction, where whatever you've gone through, you're going to forget about those things in favor of what's going to be happening.
Do you know anything about him, like what he does for a living or his age or he looks like anything?
I keep getting the impression that you should really have faith that what you're actually wanting to attract, you will get. If you focus on any kind of perfect, any kind of like, if he has blue eyes and dark hair, I get the impression that
no,
I feel against you.
No.
No, I'm just saying anything you know about him, as in ahead of time, could actually work against you because it's the ideal of, doesn't matter what kind of level it's on, those are the things you're going to be looking for. And what they want you to do is they want you to pay attention to the connection, not the looks or the job or anything about him. It's the idea of focusing on the connection. Because I've done a lot of therapy with a lot of girls who said, you know, I said, you know something, I want you to write your list of what you desire, not what you want him to be. What you desire is two different things. He has to have a job.
So
he has to make this amount of money.
Those
things
will
work against you.
He's nice and everything, but I'm kind of like forcing myself a little. But that's,
you're
I guess
trying to make something out of something?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to hurt people? So you have a tendency to make more out of it than what it is because that hurt factor. But you have to realize in the situation of making decisions.
No, it's not just the hurt. It's I don't want to look for perfection. So I better just, like, I don't, you know, I'll be alone the rest of my life if I don't go for it.
Yeah, but you got to look at the situation of focusing on being alone. Once you realize you never have been alone, and you have someone to you'll attract someone to share your life with. So the thing I get the most is just the ideal of opening up the anticipation of what's going to happen in the next 2 months, realize you're going to meet a significant other in the next 2 months, and let it go. So therefore it happens quickly. She's not even there. All right, let's move on to our next caller. Hey, what's up? Let's go into our next caller, which is a private call. I think it's 1111111. Try to say that three times real quick, and you might go. Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing well. How's it going?
It is going great. And what do I want to say? I kind of got spacey there for a minute. So what's your name?
My name is Lisa, and I'm calling from New York City.
So how is New York City? Is it under snow yet?
No, it hasn't snowed as of yet. We're enjoying nice fall, autumn weather, so let's just say. Actually, autumn fall weather. It's starting to get a little bit colder now.
Well, that's cool.
Okay, I have a question about my love life. I am not dating right now, but do you see things changing around for me within the next 6 months?
I get the impression it's the next 6 months.
I'm sorry?
I get that it will change in the next 6 months. I get the impression it's nobody you know. Everybody in your past should stay there.
Oh, yes, really? Yeah, no way. I wouldn't dare date anyone from the past. No way. No way. Never.
They just refuse to change accordingly what they know they should do. Almost like the idea when they were with you, they found you as a threat because of letting go of all those crazy things.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I always tell people flat out. I always sit and tell people flat out. When you get married, should you change anything? No. What was the thing that attracted you guys to each other? Being yourselves. So the only thing you have to really put in the, and really realistically when you look at the situation, it's just the idea of honoring the other. Which means nobody outside the relationship. I was kind of fucked. I was sitting there talking to this one lady one time, and she gave me this freaking stupid story that she felt like if she had an affair with another woman, that wasn't cheating. I said, have you read your vows? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, go read them. You'll see in it where it says to forsake anyone, to forsake everyone.
Yeah.
So therefore, that covers that, okay? And any kind of, and for anybody that you are with outside the marriage that you are looking at as a, any kind of significant other, it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. You're still having an affair. You're just trying to justify the whole thing, right? I don't know if you heard the last caller or not, but I was trying to talk to her, and it seems like I wish people would listen to what I say.
Yes,
you attract. Like attracts like, okay? So therefore, who you are, and the ideal, basically, honoring that and saying, okay, I know who I am. Or just accepting. My thing is, I always tell people, don't go looking for yourself. Because when you attract a significant other into your life, that is a reflection of you, of how you feel about yourself. So if this person can't commit, can't do nothing, we can't look at the person and say they're just mean people. No, they're not. They're just being who they are, and you're not looking at it. It's like I was telling the last caller about this guy she really likes, but there's something in that situation that she doesn't feel like she deserves. That's why it's not happening, because that's what he's doing. He's feeding into fear. The fear is, I don't deserve this person. And then she's coming back, and what she's doing, and she's doing the same thing, just using different techniques.
Yeah.
Okay, she's denying it, saying, well, he keeps saying he doesn't want a relationship. And my question was, what makes you think he's telling you the truth? Because that's what he told me. Okay, he's hiding his feelings. He doesn't want to acknowledge his feelings. He's lying to himself. So guess what? He can't do nothing else but lie to her.
Yeah.
He's not even being truthful with himself. So I was trying to say, there's going to be someone coming into your life, and it's basically because of, you know, the term let go and let God means let go of it. Have faith in yourself.
Yes, okay? I agree, yes.
So I was sitting there going, let it go. I was telling a lady yesterday, and I asked her the same question too, what is love? And you kind of get a pause, and they're kind of like, I said, it's easy. You. The soul itself has been classified as pure love. And the ideal of what we have within ourselves, that's what it's all about. So when you sit and think about that, why is it so important for one person to love themselves unconditionally? Because you also attract another person who will do the same thing. So all these qualifications that people have, I didn't tell people to write a list of qualifications. I basically told them to write a list of desires they want. What do you want in a relationship? That kind of stuff. And I'm kind of freaking out because I actually have a list, and I actually forgot that freaking list at my shop. Anyway, I think I have another one. Anyway, I was trying to give some people examples, okay? I actually wrote it out and said, okay, this is what I'm talking about. Like, okay, I want a wife. So I said, I desire a wife supportive of what I do and who I am, who respects me, who appreciates, accepts, loves me for who I am, always working with me and together. And also, she loves me as much as she loves herself. So therefore, you would put those qualifications in there. If you notice, I didn't put nothing in there. She has to have a job of $100,000 a year. Me personally, when I've heard that on people, when I look at people's lists and they go, he has to make $50,000, I said, why don't you do me a favor? And they go, what? Deal with your own insecurities about finances instead of attracting a man to do it for you. So therefore, if it doesn't work out, you're always standing on your own 2 feet. You have your own foundation. You have your own little thing going on. And basically with relationships, what's the most important thing with relationships is both people have to have individuality in their own foundation before they even come into it, because they're going to take those two foundations and create a life and a relationship on top of that. Okay? So it's like, you've heard the term, don't build your freaking house on the sand, because the foundation will wash away, and you'll be sitting there going, okay, what happened? And if you notice, a lot of women do that. They'll sit there and go, okay. I had this one lady who said she was mad because her boyfriend left her. This guy was actually abusing her, beating her up, yelling at her, and screaming at her. Did she call to ask about those things? No, she called because she was mad because he left.
She had a false security
saying that this guy was her foundation, was the missing piece in her life. When you start thinking like that, you're setting yourself up for failure, because there are no such thing as voids in you. They're just issues that you're avoiding in you. That's what they are. You think they're voids because you're avoiding those spaces. So they seem like empty spaces. What they are is their answers. And that's what I was trying to tell her. And that's the thing. You try to tell people, and you know for a fact, you can't make anybody do anything. You can't change nobody. You can't force people to do things. But I guarantee if you're being true to yourself and you tell these other people, or you just you could be a great example of actually following your heart, because people around you will see the same and do the same. That's how you help.
I agree.
People. You got to help yourself to help the world. When you heal yourself, so do you heal the world. It's actually an Adoring Virtue book where she talks about that whole time, when you change your own perception, you change the perception of the world. So it's like trying to help people understand, what are you looking for? And you start focusing on those characteristics. He has to make this kind of money. If you sit and listen to their desire list, they start saying he has to have money, he has to have security, he has to love me, he has to do all these things. But if you sit and listen to each one of those things, what they're pointing out at that moment of all the insecurities that she has within herself. And it's kind of funny, she hasn't even met her significant other, and that the reflection is already happening, where you can see those things within her, that she's looking for somebody to correct those things within herself because she refuses to do it for herself. This is a lot of girls have a tendency to get in controlling. A lot of girls have a tendency, and guys, have a tendency to get themselves into controlling relationships by controlling people because they refuse to take control of their own life.
I agree, yes.
I just want to take a commercial and go, I'm just tired of relationships. Anyway. because it's one of those things people had come, put, lady call up one day and she's like, I want to talk about my finances. I said, oh, thank you. You know, because we've had nothing but all night about relationships. But at the same time, it's kind of crazy that I actually want to write a book about my passions, about the ideal out of balance and how relationships are reversed. That if people are looking for this physical attraction, and then these dumbass psychiatrists and these therapists that keep talking about, you know, physical attraction doesn't last but more than 6 months to a year. I'll say, okay, but how about the human, how about the spirit? We're looking for soulmates, and we're looking for twin flames, we're looking for spiritual connections, which have nothing to do with physical attraction. So of course they're right, but most of us are basing it on those books out there going, you know, got to have that freaking connection, got to have compatibility. So they have these physical attractions and compatibility they keep putting first before they even ask themselves, do you really like this person? You know, do you like yourself? Do you love you? Those people are sitting going, of course I do. I said, really? So you go look in the mirror, and you can unconditionally look at yourself without no complaints. And that's when the list comes. Yes, well, you know. Well, that's what it means to realize, okay, you're looking for someone to accept yourself for who you are. But you got to ask yourself one question. Have you done it for yourself? Because if you don't accept yourself, how are you going to attract someone who's going to do it for you? You're not. Because like attracts like. So you're going to attract another insecure person, and you're going to be sitting there looking at each other going, who's going to make the first move? And then nobody does because you're both on the same insecure page. I mean, I talked to one couple, and I was sitting down with this guy she was wanting to be with. I said, lady, he's still on the first part of the book, and you're on page 98 wanting to get married. I said, you guys are not even the same chapter. You know?
Yes.
So what I'm saying to you is, it's like the ideal. If you're not in a relationship right now, realize that every freaking day you walk out that door, you are. So that's why you have to be specific about what you're looking for. I want to have a great relationship.
I totally agree with you.
So when I say characteristics, I mean, I wish I could find that freaking chapter so I give you a little more insight, because it's like what I focused on mine was, I could find that freaking thing. Because I know I've written it down. It's amazing. I've written it down so many times. I keep redoing my desire list for that. But the one thing I do focus on the most is the ideal telling myself as I go through every day, I'm loved, I'm lovable, I'm love, over and over again. And then I sit there and say, and so it is. Okay, as long as you keep doing that, I'm loved, I'm lovable, I'm love, you're putting energy out there. So you start attracting those people that all fall in that category. I found this mantra, this chant that you can do, but the chant for attracting a marriage partner is so freaking whacked out. I'm still trying to figure out how to pronounce it. So what I did, I found another chant, I found those other chants you can do for attracting money. I can say that one. So...
Well, please tell me that one for money, because I need it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I left my other journal back in my shop. I think it's Narm Mio Rangi Kyo. If you go on, there's a thing on YouTube called Money Mantras and Chants.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And that's where I found it, because I said, and what's so good about that one, whoever put that in there, actually wrote it out the way it's pronounced instead of the way writing it out the way it's spelled, which made it easier for me to go and say, okay, I can do this. And I got that. When I got the other one for a marriage partner, that one wasn't too, it was, no one had actually written it out the way it's pronounced. They just wrote it out the way it's spelled, and it's really long. It's like, I was sitting there looking at the thing going, this is, like when I started talking about desire list, my desire is simple. Like this one here says, I desire for my apartment, for the rent on my apartment to be paid in full before the end of the day. Just simple, just right to the point. Not the ideal saying, I need 10 people to make this amount of money to bring this in here. Next thing you know, you've lost the energy. So if you use the word I desire, or I choose, that has a tendency to put a little more emphasis on the whole ideal. The universe is going, okay, this is a definite thing he wants. He wants to live it right now. So the desire means something you want to live right now. And I was sitting there looking at the situation where I said, I desire a wife. And I just felt like, what was the simplest way of saying those things? And then I was looking at, I desire to do 20 readings. And I get a little detail with that one because I work for at least 3 or 4 different companies. And I want to be more popular in my radio show where I can actually work with more people, too, in a private session. So on those you can get a little more specific because you're focusing on 2 different avenues, or 3 or 4. But I was looking at this one where, you think I would have written this down, this one too. I got so many journals.
Oh, okay.
I wrote it out. It's just most things I've been focusing on lately because everybody keeps telling me to live my life, and then my partner will be a part of that. So, like, for example, you know, do your life purpose, meet your life partner. So in the process of, it doesn't have to come through that, as in your career. But when you put yourself in a situation of a career, like I focus on psychic, I have a psychic shop and that kind of thing. So I'm going to attract more people that are more intuitive and spiritual. So therefore what they're saying is, it doesn't mean it's going to come to my shop, it doesn't mean it's going to come to the show, but the ideal 2 spiritual people attract themselves no matter where they're at. They could be in a grocery store, even though I feel like I've already met her. I'm just saying, when you sort of look at the situation, if you know you're in a good place in your life, you know you're living your life purpose, you've found a career that you just love and you're passionate about, and you're giving a fantastic service to people, and you start seeing in the process of giving, you're also getting it back, which basically you're getting back in what your desires are. Your wants, needs, and desires are good. They're coming back to you because of what you're giving, and you're in a good place. So therefore, you have to have confidence and say, okay, if that's the case, then my life partner should be right around the corner, which is exactly right.
Sounds
okay,
good.
Because I've written this thing out here, and I was like, okay, come on, there's, I guess I didn't write it in this one. But what I was saying about before about relationship, it's the ideal kind of relationship you want to live. Happy, joyful, sexual, sensual, compatibility.
Yes.
Have you had situations in the past where you didn't have the faith or a person wasn't faithful to you? That's one of your things. I want a person that's faithful. Communicative, compassionate. My favorite one is enchanted, which means it's a mystery of discovery. But as you discover those things, you just discover more about yourself. Because if you think about this, the more you get to know somebody else, since they are a reflection of you, you're only getting to know yourself even more. So you look at the person going, you know, my mom used to do this, you know. Certain people say opposites attract. You know they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Opposites, I mean, that's like saying 2 magnets won't attract each other, which we know they do. And it's also looking at a magnet, how relationships are. If you have faith in them, that if someone does leave the relationship. You ever seen a magnet? When they stick together, and then when you pull that magnet away from it, you'll see the magnet spin around and go right back to the freaking other magnet.
Yes.
So you have to have faith in the relationship that you have that kind of true connection. That when that even if the person does leave, they'll be back. Just like that spinning magnet, it turns completely around and goes smack back at the other one. Like I was talking to the other lady, I was sort of talking the idea of what connections are about, and he can sit and tell her anything he wants. I tried to tell her. I don't think she caught that when I sit and said, this guy lied to you. And she goes, oh, no, he told me he wasn't ready for a relationship. And I was like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I felt like when he told her that, it didn't resonate with her as truth. And she didn't catch that.
Okay.
And that's what I would tell people. It's like electric line. Electric line does not have a connection where there's power going through it unless it's connected on both sides. So when you meet somebody you're really connected with, that's a certainty. Now it's the idea to take it one step further and ask yourself what kind of connection is it. And then go from there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But the connection is like a phone line. Okay, if you listen to yourself, as the information that comes through the connection, that's why I always tell people, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt what it is if you listen to yourself. Because the person it's like with her. The guy is telling her one story, and then he has these true feelings. So see, this is an example of a person not listening to themselves. And because they're, just because their mouth says, I don't want this, doesn't mean it's the truth. And then she's fearful because she said, I don't want to rape, I don't want to wait around for the rest of my life. See, she's already had, the fear came out real quickly when she said that. And you can see that she's like she wants to move on because she thinks she's wasting her time. When realistically she's not looking at the idea of what should she be focusing on, her.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the idea, I feel like there's some doubt where she doesn't feel like she deserves to have a relationship. And dating is actually a contradiction of people dating multiple people trying to figure out who the one is. That means they're not listening to themselves, so they feel like they got to go out. But it could also be an influence in the world that makes them think they got to do that. So they went from listening to their intuition and their spiritual abilities to say, well, this is what the world says we have to do. That's why we have such a high rate of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one's listening. I mean, listen to the ones that are out there, okay? We're best friends. They just don't work. And you're going, okay, what part don't work? We can't live together. That's because you're both selfish assholes, okay? Let's get real. Don't sit there and smile around and say, we're best friends. No, you're not. Because that's a contradiction to people out there who do have best friends that are married, who actually sit there and saw the situation and rose to be challenged because they knew for a fact they were going to learn more about themselves and their strengths. These two people are saying, we have a best friend relationship. Okay, but is it all you have? Because that's all you keep focusing on. So therefore, I keep thinking that this is your excuse to justify to getting divorced. But when I look at it even closer, I see two people who refuse to work on the problem, which is within themselves, not each other. Each other were reflecting that, what they need to do. And they were just sitting there making excuses. Because I always tell people, I don't care what anybody says, excuses are excuses. What's going on? Well, you know, no. There's a difference between having a conversation and having a freaking quiz on what excuse am I going to work today? Because these people are saying, we can't live together, we can't do this, we can't do that, but we're best friends. Well, your best friend status should have made you guys have a good foundation where you could have worked on those problems that actually made you guys run away from each other. So what they've done is they made it easier for them. So since we're best friends, we don't have to do that. That's why I don't like the term friends with benefits either, because a lot of people have a tendency to use that to not let things progress. I heard this one guy do that. He looked at his girlfriend, had been together for 6 months, and she fell in love with him. And my people come to me and go, well, maybe he just wasn't ready. I said, you know something? I guarantee you, every relationship you've been up to this point, you've made excuses for the guy. I don't give a shit about him and his freaking problems, his issues, and all that kind of good garb, okay? Those are just excuses not to commit to you where he might actually find the answer, so let go of those things and grow beyond them so they're no longer excuses and they don't keep him from what he really wants to do or what he really wants to be in. And here you are enabling him to keep doing those things. And I told her that. I said, she goes, well, he keeps going back when we first got together. It was just friends with benefits. I said, okay, I got that. But I said, watch what he does. When you sit there and sit down with him to talk about what's going on now, he goes back to a past experience and said, well, we made an agreement. This is just friends with benefits. I told her, I said, once you get a backbone and look at him going, shut up and listen to what I'm saying. I say, I have feelings for you now. And I feel like they're mutual. And every time I told her, listen to him. He's not answering your question. You asked him flat out. I have feelings. And I feel like you have feelings for me too. Do you? And he went back. He said, remember, when we first got together, this was friends with benefits. See, he didn't answer the question. He diverted it. But she didn't catch it. She needed to look at the situation and say, okay, like I do. I had a girlfriend like that too. I said, how do you feel? She goes, well, I see us as friends. I said, I never asked you what you saw. I'm asking how you feel. And I think it's to have respect for me and yourself. I think you should tell me how you feel. Well, I think we should be friends. And I said, you know something? I don't. Because you're lying to me. And my friends don't lie to me. So therefore, to be friends? I don't think so. People say, well, you have to understand where they're at. No, I don't. Who says I have to do that? I'm only responsible for one person in this world, that's me. Responsible I am for myself, the more positive this world is going to be. Those people are making the world a bit more negative. More freaking crap in the freaking divorces, the courts, the justice. Okay, thank you for the chaos. If someone would sit there and say, hey, you know something? Look at the guy in the face or look at the woman in the face and say, hey, snap out of it. I'm sick of hearing your damn excuses. Just answer the damn question. I think if we caught that more, right, you would realize they're not answering your question. They're not answering at all. They're sitting there saying, well, this is what I think. No, I didn't ask you what you thought. I'm asking to answer my question. Why can't you answer my question? If it's such a simple answer in a simple situation, or maybe it's not what you say it is, then just answer the question. Because the first time, I guarantee you, the first time they open their mouth and say, I don't love you, just to hear the word love will tap into the feelings they really have for you. That's why they won't go there. That's why they won't sit here and acknowledge not one freaking thing. Can they? Of course they can. We all have spirits. We all have souls. So therefore, we all have the capability of loving. It's just the idea, are we going to sit there and realize our human body is our transportation that carries the soul, but the soul is a driver's seat. So make your decision accordingly. That's why we say to people, people say, why is it so important to tap in? Why is it so important for me to follow my heart? Because if you look at the chakras in your body, there's seven chakras that people talk about. But if you also look at the situation, the heart is in the middle. The heart chakra, in the sense of true love, letting love come in, will activate the rest of the chakras. The three upper ones that are the spiritual ones, and the three lower ones that are materialistic ones. And the ideal of earth, and then you have spirit. But the heart is in the middle. The heart, when you open your heart, it connects to when you tap into your heart and you follow your heart, it actually the three upper chakras are activated. Okay, so therefore, those are usually tapped to your abilities to listen to spirit. Mm-hmm. When you have to follow your heart to listen to spirit, the spirit will guide you in how to obtain those earthly desires in the most simple and easiest way if you listen. If you don't listen, then you're basically going back and forth going, okay, I was supposed to do that. Why didn't I follow through? It's because you let your head come in and start thinking. I've heard girls say that. I followed my heart, and it got me in trouble. How's that? She goes, because the guy did this. Okay, but how's that mess with yours? Okay, maybe your guidance was saying it was time for you to leave. You didn't listen, so he left first, so you felt offended. But I think you're more guilty because you didn't listen in the first place when you knew you should have left. Now you're trying to justify your actions by not really being honest with yourself. And then you start feeling guilty and all this other stuff. I realize you created all this stuff on yourself just by not listening to one statement or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And she was blaming him. Well, he did this, this, and this. I said, you know something, realistically, he was just being him. He was just being who he is. That one girl got mad at me one day, I think, when I said and told her. She goes, well, this guy left me. I said, why are you taking this so damn personal? He just left. And I said, from what you told me, good riddance, you know. She said, well, I'm mad because he left. Why are you mad? I think you're more of a controlling person than you give yourself credit for. Oh, I'm not controlling at all. I let people do what they want. Oh, really? So the first time he wanted to go bowling and you got pissed off? Yeah, you sound like you really went along with the flow on that one. Maybe you should have asked yourself at the time, are you going to deal with it? Not looking at him as a problem. He's looking at somebody going, he bowls, he takes drugs, he drinks, he's a mean person. No, he's just being who he is at this time, at the level he's on, spiritually, or the lack of. He's actually tapping into more lower spiritual, low energies, which makes him think that he has to really feed into addictions. There are also some people that are too spiritual. What I mean by that is they think that they don't have balance between the physical and the spiritual, which means the body and the spirit are not one and the same. They're focusing on them being two different things, not realizing they're actually one and the same. If you look at the spirit, right, look at the soul, when you look at it from a spectrum of looking at your aura and your chakras, you'll start seeing that this is the spirit and its connection to the physical body is the chakras or energy centers, okay? The more you listen to the chakras, the more you listen to your abilities, the more you can actually tie the two together, the spiritual and the physical. Okay? When they work one in one, it means you're grounded and you're open for guidance at the same time. And most people think they got to do one or the other. And then they don't realize, most people say, I'm not psychic. I think they're actually saying, I'm not psychic, so they can justify the stupid mistakes they make, which means they haven't listened to themselves. The spirit's going to come by. Your angels have always been sitting there going, this is what you need to do. Why? Not because I have a motivation that you need to help me. I'm here to help you. Now, humans, on the other hand, they're always looking for a motivation where they can get what they want as much as you. You know? So who would you want to listen to? You want to listen to your angels? You want to listen to your friend Joe who says, I'll be friends with you because I might get laid. Okay? That's not a true intent. He doesn't really, I mean, does he really care about you enough to actually look at you to see that you're a beautiful woman, but not because of your physical body. It's because of what resonates within you that actually enhances the love, the beauty that you already are. No, he doesn't. He sees the physical, you know, I want breast. I want the physical act. I want this, this, and this. And you're like, but who are you? You know, I've asked the guys that too. Do you know her? Yeah, she likes the bowl. No, I'm saying, do you know her?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know her essence of who she is? Well, when you say the word essence to a guy, it's like essence. That's like, that's what you find in a cupcake, right? Sure, I guess you could say that. you know, I've done it before too. I think a lot of girls have a tendency to misperceive me too because they're thinking, going, he's really nice. He does all these things. He says I'm awesome, great talent. Is he flirting with me? I said, maybe I'm actually telling you the truth, and no one has actually done by looking at you going, you're amazing, you're an awesome person. Okay? And they just kind of look at you going, what's his motive? But then again, it tells us what kind of people that she's been attracting in her life before that. So, you know, with the relationships within your life, I would sit there and say, are you in one?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you in a relationship? I said, are you in a relationship right now?
Oh, no. Actually, no, I'm not in a relationship, but I'm looking to hopefully be in one within, I would say, by summer of 2014 or fall of 2014.
I would actually get the impression of you having a relationship way before that.
No,
it's one of the things. It's the idea of being in a great relationship by June, which means you have to interact with that person for at least a little bit. To get to the point of status of being fantastically great. And that's what I was getting with you and the idea of, because it says June, but I also felt like it was like meeting somebody in January and really being in a good place with each other by June.
Okay, so when if I do meet someone, you know, in 6 months, basically, just trying to keep it tight. Okay, I can do that. That's not a problem.
Well, the one thing you have to realize, too, that when you're manifesting situations, opportunities, people, and that kind of stuff, you want to be a part of your life, you can't emphasize on the timing, too, as well. The best way to do that is just keep telling yourself, are you ready for something right now? If you're not, then be honest with yourself. So, yes, I'm going to be in a relationship this time, so it means there's some progressions going on. But you also feel like there's not just progression with you, probably progression with the person you're supposed to be with. So you're both working through certain things where you're going to have a very spontaneous meeting, crossing paths. Actually, I got a visual on the whole thing where this guy actually knocks you on your butt, literally, and picks you up.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I tell people, you got the information, but don't look for it.
That's true. Yes.
So is there any other questions on anything else?
Let's see. Well, right now, since you ask, currently, I had a temp assignment that recently ended, and I actually started to update my resume today.
Mm-hmm.
I started the unemployment process, which I do not want to be on, dependent on unemployment, you know, for a long period of time. I look at unemployment as a safety net. Do you think I will be getting something on a permanent basis, or do you see me getting a few job offers within the next, let's just say this. Where I'm living now, I have to move. I have to move
right.
Later than, I would say, in the middle of December or before. And I do have finances that
before.
I saved. Before? Okay, because I definitely saved. I have saved. It's just a job situation right now, yeah.
No, I get the impression it's before December.
Oh. Okay, that sounds awesome.
All right.
Awesome, totally. Okay,
no problem.
That sounds great. So, and once I meet someone, I will give you a call back in January to let you all, if not January, by March, I'll let you know what's going on.
Okay.
All
sounds
right,
good.
It's a pleasure speaking with you. Is
you
it
too.
Starting to get cold in Colorado? Starting to get cold in Colorado?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I know you guys get a lot of snow out there.
We got some snow earlier last week, so.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it snows in New York, too, but not like where you are.
I hear you.
All right, well, thank you
done.
So much, and I will keep
you
posted, okay? Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Bye-bye. Like we were saying before, if you want to get a private reading with me, give me a call at 740-500-8863 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Or you can contact me through my email, too, as well. I do email readings at psychicxjourneyman@live.com. But if you want to get a reading here tonight, get a couple questions answered, so and so, so, just give us a call, 646-721-9031. That number is 646-721-9031. All right, just going to our next caller. Oh, we all, by the way, we also have a shop in Manitou Springs, Colorado at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue. It's called the Mystic Closet Psychic Shop. It's right across from Mushroom Mondays, right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. So if you want to get a reading in person and you're in the Colorado area, please drop by. We'd love to see you. If you want to make an appointment, just call 740-500-8863. Okay? Let's go on to our next caller, which is another private call, 11111. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hi.
Where are you from?
Hi, this is Yvonne. I'm from Long Beach, California.
What a fun place to be, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Or not.
So,
with that said and everything else, how can we help you tonight?
I had a question about the love area. What do you see going on there? If you see a guy coming in my life? I don't want to say that in that way, but I mean coming into my life.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the idea of changing the wording on the whole situation.
Yeah, I
didn't telling
want to
that
feel like...
It's the idea, will I actually attract someone that can actually share my life with?
Yeah.
Some people talk about, can I pull someone in my life? Like you have an empty parking space.
Exactly.
I get the impression... Actually, I get the impression you might actually meet someone this weekend.
This weekend? Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those situations.
In a relationship?
Yes. It's kind of crazy when you hear people say that. Like a relationship? Yeah, there's going to be someone coming in your life, and you're going, okay, how can we sit here and teach people one thing? And so, as soon as you change your perception and really put a lot of energy behind what you really do want, need, and desire, it could change in 5 minutes.
Okay, I keep forgetting that. It's like what you attract is what you, well, kind of what you wish and your thoughts. They say you can bring
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I was telling someone earlier that too. Yeah, like attracts like. So what you, who you are, you will attract.
Hmm.
But you have to also basically accept it yourself. Because it's amazing. People go, this guy won't accept me. But do you really accept yourself? Of course,
I know I
say
do.
Yes. I'm just saying,
okay.
when I tell people that, you don't have to give me an answer. I'm saying, do you trust, do you love yourself unconditionally? Do you accept yourself for who you are? It's not the idea of asking you a question. It's the idea when you got the phone, ask yourself honestly and say, okay, do I? There's also, I have a tendency to say, yes, go out and get some books. But also, on the process of working for yourself, that's the idea of focusing on trying to create something. Because realistically, you're not creating anything. You're attracting. The law of attraction, not the law of creation. The creation part happens in the idea of conceiving the thought in your head. But I guarantee it comes from a source. Looking at a situation or a relationship. You know? And, mm-hmm. you know, we consider and say in the idea of being in relationships. We definitely know what we want. But do we really have the desire, or do we feel like we really deserve it? Could be working against you. So a lot of people say, well, I think I know what I want. I think you do know what you want. But the ideal, do you really feel like you deserve it? I've worked with a couple of people who thought, yes, I do. But do you really? Yes. I said, why are you defending yourself? I'm not asking you to answer the question. I'm asking you to ask the question to yourself. So ask yourself, why are you being so defensive? Because the defense part actually tells you you're not being totally honest with yourself. Not the idea of feeling guilty because you're not. It's the ideal that's a place to start. Do you feel comfortable with yourself? If you go out there and say, well, if you say anything on the level of saying I have to change certain things about me to attract another person, you just told on yourself by not listening and say, yes, you do. Need to work on those. Because you don't love yourself unconditionally because you're saying I need to do certain things before I can find that. People have a list of things, too. I got to go to college. I got to finish college before I can actually be with the person. Not realizing the universe in the process of you opening up one time, let's say I would love to have someone to share my life with right now. You will get it. So I see people making excuses every freaking day of why they shouldn't be in a relationship when they should just be embracing what happened because their intentions attracted it to them. They attracted the person, the situation, and the opportunity. It would never happen.
Okay, so even though I'm not going out anywhere because I have, like, this wart I have to get rid of, so that's on my nose, but you said I could meet him this weekend? That's interesting. Do you know where?
Yeah,
or?
No, I had this situation happen a couple weeks ago where I wanted to wish a special somebody in my life I hadn't seen in a while. I wanted to wish a happy birthday, and I just kind of put it out there. And then I had no intention of going to the store. I was going to go home. But all of a sudden, something just prompted me to go to the store. I said, I know I don't really want to go to the store, but I guess I could go get something to drink, you know. So I did. And on the way back, I ran into her. So you're thinking right now, and you're making a decision because of what you've already planned to do. You don't know what's going to happen this weekend where you might get the same kind of prompting and do something totally different. In the process of listening to that, your angel's put you in the right place at the right time. And you meet somebody. That's what I keep getting.
Okay. Is this guy, well, I don't want to talk about this guy. I keep talking about this guy, but I guess I'll just wait until that happens. But do you see me, like, when either getting married or having a kid with someone? Because I'm 29. I mean, I'm almost 30.
You're old?
29, almost 30. I want to be married or have a kid like around next year or next, you know, sometimes 3 years. Sometimes. What are you thinking? You're like quiet.
No, it's just the idea of looking at somebody. And seeing the idea of the connection. But at the same time, the idea of getting married, because it's like I get two things. You're going to meet someone this weekend. I feel like it's going to be a long-term relationship. I'm not sure how long-term it is, but it also says you'll be getting married or be married by 32.
Okay.
But the idea of I keep getting the idea that you guys might have a might decide to do something long-term as in courtship. I don't know if people use that word anymore, but you get the impression that's what I get. Where it's the idea of meeting somebody significantly, having a long-term relationship, and still be the same
person.
Okay,
there's a guy in my life. Is this who you're talking about? I went on a date with him, not in relationship, but is this who you're talking about, or is it a new guy I haven't met?
When you meet the person you're going to be with, there's no question.
Okay, so I think it is him. I could be wrong, but I think it is him. It feels like it could be him. Like, I even, like, I've never asked the heavens to bring that union together. I asked the heavens to bring that union together.
Uh-huh.
So, it could be him. I feel like it's him. But we don't talk a lot. I mean, like, for us communication, that can be a problem. But I think he really likes me a lot, and I really like him a lot. So, that's
mm-hmm.
why I wanted to really know. Did you feel that energy?
I feel like it's a strong connection.
Yeah.
So I would still keep my mind open for the weekend.
Okay.
Either way it goes on the weekend, it does show something significant happening on the weekend.
Okay.
So you might have a guy show up that you've already gone out with, like this guy here, who decides to open up and communicate more with you. Just because you guys talk a lot doesn't mean you're communicating. That's what we call small
talk.
No, that's
why I said we don't talk a lot. That's the problem. I feel like
mm-hmm.
we like each other, but we don't talk a lot. That's what I was concerned about. But our sexual connection, even though we haven't had sex, I think we really want to have sex with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. I just feel like something major is going to happen this weekend where you didn't have the answers, you will.
Okay. I can't wait for this weekend.
Me neither. There's a lot of communication stuff on the weekend about a lot of people right now, so.
Oh, about a lot of people. That's not good. I mean, I want to feel like a lot of people. Hmm.
You can have a lot of people having the same experience as you are, but not, which means every situation is always individual. So
yeah.
I actually did readings the other night where I was pulling cards for people. And the first three people I worked for pulled the same exact same card. But every time they pulled that card, each person that pulled that card, it was a totally different reading based on each other. And they were kind of freaked out because they got the card and thinking it was going to be the same meaning that the last person got, but it was always something that was detailed to their lives, which shows individuality. They go, wow, it's the same card, but it had a totally different meaning, which resonated with each one of the people. That's what it was. So you can have each one of those situations, no matter if there's six people happening at the same time, they're still all different special situations because they're happening between two people. In each one of those situations, they're also happening in two different areas of life. Excuse me? So you got this thing going. This water's like wild. So you have two people coming into a situation. Whatever happens between the two of them, doesn't matter if four people met each other at the same time, they both have two different experiences, even probably in the same restaurant. But one was thinking about the person's hair. The other person was thinking about going home. But there are two different situations.
Yeah. So basically, you're just telling me to wait till this weekend.
Nope. Well, it's the idea of telling people we don't wait for nothing. Just allow to be open for what's going to happen this weekend. Because if you sit and wait for the weekend, this week will get really long.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can actually have a tendency to. Fixate on it too much, if you fixate on it too much, you might actually push it back too.
Oh, that's
good. Yeah, so you just, okay, thank you for the information. Have a little bit of anticipation of something exciting, joyful that's happened this weekend. Definitely going to have the answers. Maybe it's just a clarification of what I deserve, and I'll get it. You might have a realization on Friday that I deserve to be in a relationship. I deserve to be with the best. And then by Sunday, by allowing that thought to come out, allowing yourself to live it, it becomes a reality.
Okay, is this guy, I've been hearing a lot about twin flame. Is this guy my twin flame, or he's not?
No, He's not. Okay. He's, I would call him a person who probably be to understand it more. He's a part of your soul group. But I don't get the impression that realistically it would be a situation of, you know, you went out with this one guy. I don't feel like it's a very positive connection, but also I feel like another person coming in who will basically make that look like a broken heater. Not as strong as you thought it was. Because,
yeah. What? Mm-hmm. Have I met him before?
I get no.
Okay. Am I going to be with? Okay, I'll wait for what you. What you have to say? I'll wait for this.
Yeah. You can keep asking questions all you want, but if you wait till the weekend, you'll get the answers to your question.
Okay, the water heater guy. I mean, the broken heater guy. Okay. So there's two guys you're seeing.
Huh?
There's two guys you're seeing involved in my future, or are you seeing just one?
Just the one.
And you call him the broken heater guy.
Yeah. It's called the broken heater guy because it's like we have a broken heater. Instead of going out and buying another one, we would rather deal with this one. Because there is some heat coming off of it. And if you hold the cords right, it'll work. We don't realize that if we buy a new one, and all those complications we don't have to deal with.
Okay, so when you say like broken heater, I'm sorry. Are you talking about sex, like something sexually?
No. Remember, physical attractions only last 6 months to a year. But when you have a spiritual connection behind it, it extends it forever.
That's what I want, something spiritual behind it. I don't want it just based on looks or sex. That's not good.
Mhm. Well, that's the second guy, not the first guy.
Okay, the second guy. See, yeah, there is a second guy. Where is he coming along at? Well, like, what month? Do you see him coming in?
Oh, the guy you're going to marry when you're 32?
Yeah. I got to wait till 32. Oh, my God.
No, actually, the insight was actually saying that you would be married by 32, which means there has to be at least a year and a half courtship and the idea of getting married. So it would happen when you're 31. But then again,
yeah.
Like I was saying before, it's like meeting the person, and you might actually take a while to get to know each other. I mean, me personally, when you look at the situation, people say, let's take it slow. Actually, what doesn't matter if you take it slow. Doesn't matter if you're a person who wants to speed things up. Either way you go on that, you're still a controlling person. And you're still not allowing the relationship to basically go at its own speed. Having more faith in yourself, that kind of stuff. Alrighty?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Give
okay,
us a call and tell us how things go too, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, and you have a great night.
You too, bye.
Bye-bye. Poof. Anytime now. Sometimes it delays. All right, let's go to our next caller, which is area code 305. Welcome.
Hello.
Oh, here we go again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, hold on. Is that better? Hello?
You're a little low.
Hello.
I can barely hear you.
Hello?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear
What's
me?
What's your name? Where are you from? Mm-hmm. What's your name? Where are
Hello?
You from? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Let's take a break for a second. I'm going to play this one song called An Angel Tonight by Foreigner. We'll be right back after the song. This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. And we'll take a little bit of break. play a nice little song for you, and we'll be right back. So get your questions in your head, and we'll get right back to the questioning. All right, here we go. Psychic X Journeyman. I'm your host, and this is my show, Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Talk Radio, here on Block Talk Radio. We're back, and we're going to start taking calls again. If I want to give out the information, I'm going to give a call in. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. If you want to get a private reading with me, either at my shop or by the phone, just give us a call, 740-500-8863, and get some great insight for only a dollar a minute. So call now. And like I said before, if you want to come to my shop, which is actually in Manitou Springs, Colorado, it's on 946 and a half Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado, right across from the Mushroom Monday and right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. All you have to do is just call us. If you want to sit there and make an appointment, just call the number at 740-500-8863. You can also contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com or through my email address at psychicxjourneyman@live.com. If you have any questions about the information, just don't hesitate to ask. I'll give it out some more. Let's go on to our next caller. That number will be 917 area code. Welcome to the show. How are you and what's your name?
Hi, I'm Anna. How are you?
How am I? How are you? I'm doing good.
Oh my. You say oh my.
Oh yeah, oh my. I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Unless someone can tell me something really positive, I can snap out of it. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can't hear me. Okay, I'm going to move to another area. Fortunately, you can't hear me. Okay, let me ask. Hold on. I'll move to another area so you can hear me. Sorry, Poopy.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Okay. So, yeah, I went on a job interview today. I was feeling really excited, you know, about this job and everything. And and I went on a job interview for an hour interview, you know, all sorts of questions. He tells me, like, that he's going to be gone for a week and he's going to be interviewing more people and then having second rounds for this job, assistant job, not even like a super, he's going to have second rounds, whatever, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so down after that interview. You have, like, no idea. My whole world was, like, you know, before I was, like, okay, and now it's, like, all fell down. And I just got so super down from the whole thing. I was like, okay, he just interviewed me. He didn't give me anything. He basically left it with a little less information there. I don't know if he wants me to come back or not. I have no clue. He didn't set up a second interview or, you know, maybe he wasn't prepared for that yet, but it just brought me so down. I feel so bad. And then I'm kind of seeing someone. I'm not really seeing him. I've only seen him once in 2 weeks. And basically, I don't think it's going anywhere. So I feel kind of crappy today, you know. I'm just trying to forget everything and move on, but
right.
I'm not happy right now. I don't feel like I'm happy. I don't feel like I know where I'm going with my life. So, it's kind of like that. Why was I feeling so upset over that stupid job? I mean, I'm just so...
It's like a person having an agenda, a time frame, and people are just procrastinating too much. And the ideal, and it's almost like the ideal, thinking of back in the day when you went to interviews, the ones that became your job are usually the ones that didn't take any time at all.
Yeah.
You went in, you got it, moved on, and then you have a guy
exactly.
here.
Exactly, that's like, the ones that I've been having. So far, I've been getting the ones that, you know, I go in there, I got it, and I move on, or I say, I'm sorry, that's not enough pay. I'll feel it out, and I'm not sure. And with this job, I went in wanting it, you know, and it's a total different field than where I'm from, total different field.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of wondering, like, okay, is this not too simple for you, whatever. But I said, I want a little bit more of a simpler life right now. You know, I don't want to make it too emotionally draining for myself or complicated. Just want to have a simple job. I don't have to emotionally invest myself in it. And that's what I want. And I feel like that's the job that could bring me financial independence, and that could be a nice commitment for me. I could have a life. But I was really, like, ready to, like, take it on. And then he's, like, an hour interview. Why waste my whole time asking me all sorts of questions if he just gives me this silent thing in the end, you know, like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had this silent thing, and I was like, he's withholding some information. He's not telling me everything. And, you know, he's testing me on different levels. I get it. But, you know, I felt like I don't even know if I'm – it doesn't feel like I'm getting the job. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those strange situations. He seemed like he was a person, a lot of cross, what do we call that? A lot of mixed thoughts. What are you going to do back and forth?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the idea of asking, wanting to do more things, to interview more people, it's almost like this guy has a very strong and decisive part about himself, too, where he's like, okay, it's great, but maybe I might be missing it. Some of us are trying to keep it open to more people.
Yeah.
Realizing
sounds like that.
That's more of about insecurity with a person. I get kind of irritated with this kind of interviews, too, because I actually had a guy that had an interview with him, too. And he said and told me that they didn't have any openings. So I'm just like, okay, thanks for wasting my time. And the guy was like, what do you mean? I said, I'm not here to make you feel important. I'm here looking for a job. So therefore, you kept me in this interview for this amount of time, talking about all this craziness, and I was under the impression that you actually had a job opening. Why waste your time?
Yeah, why waste your time? These people that need a job, they're all looking for something. So he said, you know, I'm still interviewing. I said, you know, yeah, you could interview. I'm also looking, I said. So I don't know how long I'm going to be on available for this position, I said, but I'm also looking around, I said, you know. So I'm not going to be waiting around to hear from you. For sure I'm not. I don't like to wait around for these jobs to call back.
Yes.
That's the worst thing I could do for myself. Done that in the past.
That's the one thing,
it's painful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point, too, because I think a lot of people should take it more seriously when they walk in interviews. They should treat it like a business meeting, that they're actually, this benefits their corporation, which is them.
Exactly.
When you walk into
a
situation where it's not happening, you need to sit there and I told the lady I was with, you know, that's kind of mean, because I could have been somewhere else.
Yeah.
Where people do have openings, and you don't.
Exactly. I agree. It's like this feeling that doesn't feel good, the way that they treat you. And he asked me all sorts of questions about on my resume and this and that and what does this mean and what does that mean and what is this. You know, he's learning a lot of things about new stuff about me, about, you know, general information.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I know what the job is. It's not like, oh, wow, what a job. But he pays really well, so I want it. Plus, you know, I wanted a little bit more because I feel like with my background, I just deserve this amount of money and not that amount
mm-hmm.
of money. So I was going to ask for that, but we didn't even get to that. It was like, okay, well, we'll discuss this next time, I said, if we meet. But, you know, I'm going to be like, I was so disappointed. Like, I'm ready to take this job. You know, I'm ready to go for it. You have to read energy. This guy is not reading energy well. He doesn't understand, you know, anything. So it's like, why even? I even said, you know, I want to help you. I want to support what you're doing. I want to support your life and you know, move forward. And, you know, I mean, those things are valuable things. Not everybody is there to do that. So I feel like, you know what, I put myself
mm-hmm.
out there, and then I felt bad too, you know. It's like it's very difficult to put yourself out there and make yourself so, like, open and vulnerable. And then to be treated like, I don't know. You know, it has nothing to do with me. You're right. It's him. It's like he's been interviewing for a week and a half. I mean, imagine how many people he's seen. So it's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
In my dream, it said, like, don't be intimidated by the amount of people or whatever. Don't be intimidated by anything. That's what I got from my, you know.
Yeah. It's one of those things of holding on to your perception.
Holding on to my perception. But I'm kind of wondering myself, why am I taking an assistant job when I studied to become a therapist, you know? And because of my
mm-hmm.
visa status and my work situation, I'm not from here. It's much harder for me to find a solid job in my field with that immigrant status thing.
Where
you know, it's an extra load. I'm from Europe. And it's an extra load I'm carrying from France.
You're from France? And that's where you were born?
Sorry?
Is that where you were born?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's so much harder. I really don't know how it's all going to come about. Do you see, like, oh, God, I want to feel good again. You know, this is not fun to feel.
Well, it's all
so...
a situation, you know. The whole idea
Sorry?
Of the situation. Being put yourself
what?
In a better frame of mind is to focus on yourself. The idea, like we told this lady one day, was the idea you can't attract abundance unless you feel abundance within yourself. Abundance is accumulation, whatever it is. Abundance is not what people think it is. They always focus on money. It's the idea of abundance within yourself. How do you feel about yourself? I have abundance of love for myself, or abundance of gratitude or gratefulness, and the idea of what I have. Those kind of things. Because people always say, well, I'm not happy. Well, a job's not going to make you happy. People ain't going to make you happy. There's only one person that's going to make you happy. That's you. So it's like, look at the situation, like you said before. You keep saying it's hard. Well, your mind hears that. So therefore, you're impressing it on your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is the key of manifestation of things in your life. The universe goes, okay, this person believes everything's hard, so you're going to continue to attract situations to prove you right. When you change your perception and go, okay, realistically, if you have a lot, and I'm not saying you don't or you do, I'm saying that I know for a fact that when I started focusing on the idea I deserve, there was a certain energy that came across the whole thing where I started saying, instead of hoping for something, I was to turn and see a visual and I have faith. Every time I caught myself saying something crazy that it's hard, I always say no. There's always an easier way. And an easy way, and after I really got...
The easier way is to move back to my country. Well, that's not easy, too, because that's going to take a while before I'm even going to get settled there. And that's, like, much easier to work there because I'll make money at least. Here, it's like I have to...
Well, and you're New York, right?
Yeah. I don't want to go back. I mean, it's not ideal. But this is just...
Mm-hmm. I would just say, I feel like if you relax, take a deep breath, look at the situation, it's okay, guys. There has to be an easier way. There has to be an easier solution. It'll present itself. Because
yeah.
I feel like you're right where you're supposed to be at.
Sorry? What?
I feel like you're right where you're supposed to be at. It's the ideal. People go, well, I guess there's no solution because I haven't found it. No, the problem is there is a solution and you haven't found it. It's still there. It's the ideal listening to you. Tape yourself sometimes. Just put a tape recorder somewhere where you forget all about it and just basically tape yourself and your conversations in a non-spontaneous, you know, in a very spontaneous way. Sometimes we have a tendency to play this back going, I'm a negative person. Something you didn't notice.
I think so. I think so very, very much. Today I'm a super negative person. Like, after that interview, everything started going down. Before that, I was feeling really good. I was, like, excited, happy, going forward. And then this happened where I don't get my way, and I'm in the unknown. I'm left, you know, somewhere on the hook. I feel bad. I feel like...
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad,
You will always get what you want. It just might have happened. It might not happen the way you would like it to happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen the way I liked it to happen. It was such a surprise that he said that he was going to do second interviews. I'm like, what? Oh, God, you know, all right, whatever.
I can understand it. I can understand the second, third interviews if you're interviewing with a totally different person. Like, it's the company thing. They want you to get familiar with, like, two or three different people in that position, you know. So you get more comfortable with the company, that's great. But in the ideal, they're not really obtaining anything. It's more of an introduction to other people. This guy here is just, I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he just told me that he still misses the other secretary that he had. But, you know, if I go on another interview, you know, I mean, yeah, I'll dress a little bit better and stuff. I'll make a little bit more effort to... Not even dressed a little bit better. I just felt like I wore the wrong clothes and stuff. And I didn't know what else to wear. And but it's okay. I don't think he knows what he's doing either. He's interviewing, he's asking the wrong questions, all these questions about my therapy background. Who the hell cares? I'm not going to do that here. Ask me about my, you know, other things. What do you need me to do, and how can we get it going, you know, that stuff. It's a low-key job. It's easy. It's light. It's fun. And it has some stress stuff, but it's not like my therapy job. There's like super heavy loaded people problem solving situation, you know? Yeah, which is good because I'm kind of like I needed a change, you know? So I was like, you know, I could commit to this job. I could do this forever because it pays my bills. I was so happy. But maybe the universe wants me to be somewhere else, and I have to just have faith.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's feeding.
I just didn't have it in me today to have faith, I guess. So I went into a panic attack mode.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to almost start taking a step back and looking at what you're trying to do. A lot of people focus on getting their bills paid, but they don't really focus anymore past that whole thing, too.
Yeah, I feel like at this point I'm done with getting paid very low fees for what I do, very low. It's not, I don't know, but it was good for what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just saying, keep focus on the affirmation, just the one I was saying before, when the idea of there has to be an easier way. And I don't see you going back to
Earth.
Yeah,
there has to be an easier way. There has to be an easier way for me.
And all
everything
the money I
comes
spend,
to me with ease, joy, and glory.
Yeah. Don't do like my friend does. She has a tendency to say those things really fast. I have the glory. I don't know. I'm sort of going, why don't you stop and emphasize the energy on each one of those words in the statement itself, too? And it's like having a very stable backbone, which has a tendency to actually be something that's bringing out the strength in the rest of your bodies, too, is working as a unit. So it's looking at a sentence, it's the same thing, an affirmation. I mean, if you emphasize on just one word, the affirmation that you're focusing on, the outcome, what it represents, it's not going to happen. Because you're just, you know, if you emphasize on and, it's a great word, you know.
Yeah, but I'm also wondering, how is this going to affect my self-esteem if I work as an assistant now as opposed to a therapist? How is it going to affect my self-esteem?
Well, it's the ideal. Looking at the ideal that you're not really crazy about the situation, and then sit there and say, okay, and then we need to change our freaking focus on the ideal of attracting a therapist job, not the ideal of being an assistant to a dummy.
I think that's what I love to do. I think that gives me self-esteem.
He needs a therapist. Maybe the idea of you guys crossing paths is more. He needs therapy.
Yeah, he was talking about all these things that he was doing, that were connected to art therapy and stuff like that. He seems to have a lot of connections to it. And what else was I going to say? Oh yeah, and then my therapist goes like, you're probably not going to have an easy life. You're probably going to have a life with struggle in it. I'm like, what? How could she put that out there in my future? What a bad thought. So I emailed her. I said, you know, it was great to see you, but don't put things out there in the future about me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How could you say that?
Most therapists, think about this. Most people in those kind of positions try to get people to see the reality, not realizing, are they really showing you your full potential, or are they trying to get you to feed into your lack and limitation?
Yeah, lack and limitation. Lack and limitation. I mean, she cares deeply about me. I know that. I mean, we've had a relationship for, you know, a long time.
You have to get back to the reality that you might have a difficult life. No, I get back to the ideal that you might have the perception that you're supposed to have a physical life or a challenging life. So you have to trace back the source. But what makes you, why do you have that perception in your mind? It's something you've experienced. You need to go up to realize, no, everybody deserves, I mean, even, I was going to tell it before, too. It's kind of some of the things I hear. Even the Bible, it says to go out and be abundant and prosperous. It never says settle and be miserable. It doesn't say that.
Exactly. Well, settle and be miserable. Exactly.
Even
Balkans, it doesn't
say
that.
Live long and prosper.
Find the kingdom of God and all things shall be added to you. You know?
Yes.
Well, I
God,
guess when I went into that interview, I forgot to stay in the power of the presence of God, and I just stepped out of it, and I fell hard on my face. I was so miserable, and everything was wrong. And I met this guy, and he kind of came to me, and he's acting very I have seen him about a week and a half ago, and you know we're connecting, but it's not like we're seeing each other. He's not setting any dates up. The last date he set up was Thursday, and then he canceled. He set it up on Wednesday to do something the next day, and then he canceled the same day.
Really? Why?
Yeah, he said that he had hurt himself playing basketball, and that he didn't want to sit in the theater for 2 hours because it would hurt his back. And he has some
kind of
physical problems.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying, when you look at the situations and that kind of stuff, it's the ideal cut it loose. Go, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So therefore, see what happens. Because
yeah,
when you first
met
each other in that first place, yeah, it's like looking at situations when you haven't met each other. Realistically, it wasn't like somebody calling you 2 weeks ahead of time and says, we're going to meet each other at this place. No, it just happened. And it happened because of the intentions that were put out there. So it's almost like this guy, it seemed like the excuses are already starting. So
yeah,
like
and
this.
Then he
also,
was
you don't want
to
sit in the theater and watch a movie? Okay.
We can do something else.
That's what I was going to say. You can do something else. You don't want to sit in a theater for 2 hours? That's great, but you know something? What does it tell you about a person and their perceptions of putting themselves out there? They want a great relationship. They want things. They just want certain things about that kind of thing. And you look at a person that would probably be in the position of looking for someone to, you know, to rise to the occasion. And this person did everything else but.
Yeah. And then today we were going to talk, and it was fine. I said, I'm available after 6. And then he texts me around 11 or so, 11:30 or something, 11. If is it too late? I said, yes, I'm going to go to bed. Maybe we'll talk some other time, I said. I didn't say let's talk tomorrow. I just said, maybe we'll talk another time. And he's like, okay, so sorry, so sorry.
So sorry, so sorry, yeah.
I didn't say anything back.
I think you did what you're supposed to do. You know, the ideal of not having any information, there wasn't really nothing to say back, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm glad I was able to, like, zip my mouth this time because I had, like, all sorts of things to say to him. But that's only for him. It's not for me. So by zipping it up a little, I said it for me, you know? I said it for me,
yeah.
And that was it. I didn't ignore him, you know. I could have ignored him too, but I was like, I'm not going to ignore him. That would have been stupid because the next day it's going to be weird. So I just, I said, maybe we'll talk sometime. Not nothing. Just like what he's giving me, I'm giving him back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't be bothered. I need to have a clean slate and to start with a clean slate tomorrow and dust myself off. I've had a very intense week with this guy and not guy there, not there, and everything, being upset over it and not upset over it. I'm just too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Well, give us a call back and say how things are going. Ooh, got cut up. Anyway.
Yeah, is Heather still doing the show?
Well, she was in a car accident yesterday, so she's still healing from that.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
She was in the back seat, so she was good, but she still has bruises and That sudden stop syndrome kind of thing where it really affects your body where you're tired.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. Lots of light to her, love and light.
She should be back soon. She was even asking
about tonight. I'm so sorry. Okay, well, you take other callers then. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. It was great talking to you. You have a great week, okay?
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to make the best of it. Thanks.
You're welcome. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. Let's go on to our next caller. It would be... It looks like it's a Skype call, so it's actually... I think it's Michelle.
It's Michelle.
Michelle?
Yes.
I was going to say that first, but I wasn't too sure.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Carolina.
South Carolina?
Yes, sir.
So how can we help you tonight?
I was just wondering, do you give psychic readings, or I just came home from work and I'm up. Do you do readings on this show, or what do you do?
Yeah, we
do. This is my first time listening.
No, we talk about a lot of spiritual stuff, and then we answer callers and the idea of answering their questions.
Oh, okay. Is it in the form of a psychic reading?
Yes, I'm a psychic medium, spiritual advisor. So.
All right. Well, I have a question.
No, it's okay. No, I just take it for granted that the last three callers has been about relationships, so I...
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I do have a question like that. My coworker is kind of flirty with me, and he's somebody I never would have considered kind of looking at, but tonight when I saw him, I was like, you know, I got a little heart stop. So I was wondering, is there anything, or do you see anything that could happen between us?
Let's look at the situation of the person's name.
His name is Tim.
His name is Tim.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting here looking at the situation of this guy, where I feel like he's younger than you.
He is.
And I keep getting absolutely nothing's going to happen between the two of you. I get the impression there's not the ideal connection. I get that there is. But I also think, and I don't mean this in any kind of disrespectful way, I just keep getting a guy who's flaky and flighty.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So when you start to look at situations right now and the ideal decisions he makes, that's why you feel like it won't go anywhere. It's the idea of, if you're going to sit there and, this might sound crazy, but if you ask him out and seduce him, there's a better chance of something happening than waiting for him to do something.
Okay.
There was a strong connection that came across and said, I've heard this before, and especially with women. He's not my type. I said, yeah, but look at the types you've been going out with. It's not working. So the universe is saying, here you go. Do you want another freaking fruitcake, or you want something different? You said different, so here it is.
That's very
true. So quit judging it because of where you came from. Look at it for what it is.
Well, the reason why he's not, it's not that I didn't think he wasn't my type. I didn't think he could like someone like me. That's what it was.
And why not? That is a curious question I would need to ask you. Why would you feel like someone would not like you? Because I get the impression a lot of people like you.
Well,
you're fascinating and awesome. He's a very likable person.
Well, he's younger than me, and I think we come from kind of two different backgrounds, and I just didn't think that, you know, he's like this young, single, happening type guy, you know, so I didn't think he would look twice at me, you know.
Well, you got to look at the situation of the reflection, because the way it comes to me, he's like a preview to the one. And it's more of a reflection of someone coming into your life and going, you don't really feel a confidence in yourself. and this person's reflecting those issues to actually confront those, work with it. So, okay, he's not going to ask me on it like that, but then again, I have to ask myself, why do I have such doubts in myself when I shouldn't? Because I've accomplished so much in my life, I do what I want to do. So the ideal saying, why would this guy like me? I think you need to take a look at the situation of your own qualifications and why he would. Everybody's going, what if it doesn't happen? Oh, really? How about the other side of what if? What if it does? Are you really prepared for it? Or are you making excuses because of something that could happen? Because, I mean, I'm not kidding the idea of asking the guy out. There's too much of that old-fashioned bullshit that says, well, I like things old-fashioned, well, I like to be chased. I'm sorry, sir, but you better do your history again.
I did ask him. We've gone out to breakfast before, and we've made plans to hang out again, but they got canceled because of work, and so we made plans again to go to the movies on Friday.
I'm just saying, it's like one of those things, the situations and stuff. As long as you proceed forward, and the idea of your intentions, what you want, who cares what he wants? Who cares how he feels? Who cares about anything about him and the ideal of those situations? Because realistically, that's his job. And it's also his job to also convey those emotions and to communicate, okay? So as long as what I'm saying is, people go, that's kind of mean, isn't it? I was like, why is it mean to take the responsibility of someone else's life? I don't get that. And wondering how come you feel so tired. Why do you have a weight on your shoulders? Because you put all those dumbass people on your shoulders.
That's true.
You didn't jump up there. You put it there because you feel like you have to take the responsibility. It's also the idea of looking at yourself of insecurity, that you feel like you've got to do everything. What I'm saying in this situation, I don't feel like nothing's going to happen because there still needs to be that intention to be established, because you must have had some kind of stable intentions out there, because you put it out there and you got this part. You got this opportunity. Okay? I feel like he's very flighty, but I feel like the more strong and the more confident you are with yourself, the more he'll also exhibit the same as well. Because, like I said before, he's a reflection of you, of the things that you need to work on. But then again, on the same notion, he's got a reflection coming back at him too. So therefore, the more confident the reflection is for him to learn from, the quicker he'll learn it. And the one thing about relationships, let's get real. They're all about learning. Everything we do on this freaking planet is about learning.
That's true.
For some reason, we look at relationships and look at people going, I mean, I have no problem with the idea of being on the same page. But the idea of getting past certain insecurities, you might realize you are on the same page. He's just not really had a lot of confident people in his life, so he acts accordingly. Lack of confidence. He's never really had a good reflecting back him going, you know, it's like reaffirming things for people. I hate this one. There was one situation where the girl was going, he's driving me crazy because he keeps saying that I don't deserve him. I deserve someone better. I said, what you need to do is sit down with the guy, look him in the face, and go, you know something? If you would allow yourself to be your complete self, I would be with somebody that I deserve because they feel like they deserve me. Plain and simple. It's just, you know, that's what he's saying. I've heard guys say it all the time. Ooh, get off your macho bullshit, okay, dude?
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, I think you deserve someone better than me. I don't think I'm good enough for you. I'm sick of hearing about your insecurities, dude. Why don't you tell me the truth? You're lying to yourself. You have to be, and people look at me and go, how can you sit there and look him in the face and say he's lying to himself? Because he's looking at you. Okay? When you sit there and look in the mirror and go, I'm an awesome, great, fantastic, very likable, lovable person, and then that person's facing you later on, and he says, I don't think I'm worthy, he's really looking at himself. So therefore, he's lying.
Yeah.
So I look at the situation like, it's
going
to be a fantastic situation. It keeps coming back to seducing the guy. Anyway, you can take that any way you want.
Well, after he left work.
Let me say one more thing, okay? Seduction happens before you go to bed.
Yeah, it does.
And you're seduced by a person, their personality, and I don't care what anybody says. I've seen a lot of girls who are very fascinated by someone being totally real with them, that is very seductive, and they get fearful when they should look at it as saying, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I've always wanted to attract into my life. And the ideal they don't realize it's someone to share their life with, not to fill the void. The voids are no voids. They're just things you're avoiding. And
yeah.
I hate to say that because I keep going over the whole thing going, we are whole, perfect, and complete. Okay? It's
yeah.
our body that tells us otherwise. It's your human body that tells us otherwise. So therefore, the more you get confident and more really connected to yourself as your soul, your body will also reflect it too as well, as in perfection. It's the ideal that when we have doubt within ourselves, think about that. We have doubt within ourselves. That means we doubt the true self. So when you start thinking about those things and put them all together, what's going to happen in this relationship? Whatever you say.
Well, it's not going to last long because I'm planning on moving out of state in a couple of weeks. So I just,
Stay true to yourself, okay? Stay true to yourself. And don't sit there and look at situations like right now and say, I'm going to be leaving in 2 weeks.
Well,
okay,
no, it's not that I'm using that as an excuse. I mean, I totally want to go for it before I go.
What I'm saying is what you got to look at is the guy. Okay, you're assuming that if you move, he's going to stay right where he's at. But you never know. Once you know, you got to open all the doors.
That's
people will
true.
Go through them.
Well, can I ask you another question?
$5. Anyway, go ahead.
I wanna get a car before I leave, and I was just wondering, is that gonna go through for me? Because I'm kind of nervous about it, but I do wanna get a car before I go.
Where are you at?
I'm in South Carolina. South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
I get the impression it'd be a good thing. It's insecurities you're still hanging on to from previous cars you've owned. Even the one I have. Anyway.
That was so funny.
I'm just saying, when we look at this, we don't have just insecurities with a romance, you know. And even I've seen this before, too, that people do have insecurities within a lot of emotional things they have in their lives. As soon as they confront them, let them go, their finances get better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing how all those connections. I had a drowning accident when I was 10. And it's amazing how I've gone back there to deal with certain guilt or certain things I still need to let go of, that everything starts to get better in the present. And realizing how past does affect, or we should, past memories, how they affect our decision-making now. To realize,
mm-hmm.
it's like looking at the situation. I'm going to sit and focus and go, this is the first time I've ever bought a car. This is the first time I've ever gone out with anybody. Forget everything else that came to this point. You still have the knowledge, but the more you let go of the whole situation from the past, the more
mm-hmm.
spontaneously you can use the information you've already learned. You ever hear people say that? If I only knew what I knew
now, back then. I
think
I'm insecure about it because I'm putting it out there. You know what I mean? I just I want everything to go kind of smoothly. I don't want a lot of hassle. So
I'm just saying, get a lot of details. Okay, just really.
Yeah.
Focus on and embrace that you can do anything and you can have what you want because you
mm-hmm.
My simplest one I ever did, the simplest affirmation was, I deserve what I desire.
I did.
You're going to deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start thinking about that, if it doesn't happen, it's the ideal. The only person you can look at when it doesn't happen or whoever is you. When my shop, when my business is slow, there's something about my perception that needs to be looked at. Because it's not the ideal that, where people are. They should be walking to my shop. But I've also known when I do certain visualizations and have a lot of confidence in what I see, it becomes a reality very quickly. I mean, I think the one that jumped out at me the most was I was sitting there going, someone needs to come in my shop and just start pointing at all the stuff that I do and say, I want that, 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 and that, and pay accordingly. More than 20 minutes later, a guy walks in. He starts walking with his friend. He goes, okay, I want this, 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 and this. And then he hand me $100. I'm going, that should cover it. It was one of those things of focusing on deserving, right? Okay, I give all the time.
You're absolutely right. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, I deserve to be compensated accordingly. And I said, I need someone
mm-hmm.
to walk in here who has no problem, has no barriers to keep them from going and getting what they want, spending the money they want to get the information they need. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, when I walked in there, it was like a, I think it was $100. It was $100 Saturday because it was like he walked in, another couple walked in. It was kind of funny, the couple, because I didn't pull no cards out or nothing. I just had to answer their questions, gave them the insight that they wanted. And then we talked for about an hour or so. And I never had actually sat there that long without lifting a card or something. So the guy looked at me and said, "How much do I owe you?" I said, "That's a good question because I've never actually sat here this long." And the guy looked at me and hands me a $100 bill. "Will I cover it?" "Yes, it will." So it's the idea. It's the idea of also being very precise and very direct. When people say something to you, there's this girl I really like. And I noticed one thing, that when I fumble through things, it's pretty, you know, she has a tendency to distance herself and do some certain things. But when I come across and she said, the first time we sit down and talked, and really long time. And I was actually focusing on that to happen, where she would be an opportunity where she would come by, where we could sit down and talk, where I wasn't working. She didn't have no expectation where she had to be somewhere, and she didn't come up with any kind of excuses. So she came one day, she came by my apartment building, and I was downstairs on the porch leaning on the banister, and it just started raining, and sure enough, here she came up the sidewalk, and I looked at her and I said, "You need to come up on the sidewalk and gather rain." And she goes, "Okay." So it was like very direct. She comes up on the porch and sits down. At first she was kind of hesitant because she had her son who was crying, and she felt like she had to stand up with him to get him calmed down. And I told her, I said, "These seats that we have down here, they actually rock." And she goes, "Oh, they rock." So she sit down and rocked her child, which took him about 20 minutes to get him to shut up. But so we were sitting there still talking and stuff like that. So we had this long conversation, and we were talking about certain things. And it's like the idea of people, you know, people have to pay attention to conversations. Even when you're not asking questions, that person is still telling you. And the more they open up, the more relaxed you are, the more they're going to open up to you, the more they're going to tell you things without even asking. And she sitting and looked at me one day, and she said, "I don't believe," she goes, I don't believe true love exists." And I looked her right in the face, and I said, "Yes, it does, and trust me on this one." And that's all I said. And then we started talking for a little bit longer, and she looked at me, and she said, "This was really nice. We should do this more often, or we should do this again." And I said, "Yes, we should." And you can see certain things when you're very direct, which means you have a lot of confidence. When you have a lot of confidence, things always have a tendency to go your way. When you're doubtful with yourself and you start questioning things, that's when you have the most problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because each time you question something, you're putting energy out there where that fear could actually manifest into reality. So when you, like you said, you're putting it out there, you've already put it out there. You've got to be strong and firm with your perception. And don't let the world tell you otherwise. So the world's going to say, "No, no, no. You got limitations. You got to have this kind of down payment. You got blah, 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 blah." When you sit here and go, "No, this is how it's going to happen." And I told people before, if you haven't listened to the show before, okay, I told a person, I walked into the motor vehicles one when I was living in Florida. My license, I thought my license just expired, okay? And I still saw it as a miracle because when I walked in the motor vehicles, it had been 3 years since my license had expired. But what I did was I walked into the motor vehicles, and as I'm walking to the door, I said, "I'm going to walk in here, get my driver's license, and walk out." That's it. That's all I saw. That's all I focused on. I walk in there. The lady looks at me. She goes, "Your license, you said, you got to get your license renewed." I said, "Yeah, it's been about 3 years." But I didn't say anything else besides that. "Yeah, it's been 3 years." And then she looked at me, she goes, "Has your license been revoked?" I said, "No." Okay. Mm. And then she looked at me and she said, "Okay, stand in front of the blue screen." I said, "Stand in front of the blue screen." She goes, "Yeah, so we take your picture for your license." Now, all this is going down, right? When I walked out of motor vehicles, about 6 months later, I went back home. I'm from Ohio. So I went home and found that my license had been revoked for 6 years. So I believe that no matter what the situation is, as long as you keep your perception and your faith in check, you can override anything. And I've done it too many times where I was sitting and focus on if I want to get something and I think my credit report might get in the way, I will focus on a computer glitch that will wipe that infraction from my record. And it was kind of funny. One time I was down here trying to work for this one place as a server working for a very fancy hotel. And they said, "Well, you can't have a felony to work at this hotel," which I knew I did. But I sit there and focus and said, I looked at her and I said, "Go ahead, do a background check on me. I'm good." She did, which came back with nothing. So it's one of those situations when you want something and you're very confident about what you're focusing on,
mm-hmm.
you will get it. I've had
That's
it happen
true.
Too many times.
And I have too. Mm-hmm. Anytime I focus on something and it's just in my head that I'm going to get it, it's going to be mine, it becomes part of my soul, and I just feel it. So you're absolutely right. I don't know, maybe I'm just kind of used to the insecurity, you know, questioning myself, not trusting my instincts. And honestly, I feel like I'm going to get a car before I leave. Like, it's part of my soul. It's in my gut that it's going to happen. You know,
yes.
So I don't know why I asked.
No, that's the same thing I'm feeling right now. I was talking to my friend, and she was like, you're focusing too much on relationships and a significant other. I'm like, okay, first you said I wasn't focusing enough. Now I'm focusing too much. So I was like, okay, what do I feel in the situation? Well, last week I saw nothing but 26s. So I had some money on my account working for this other company, so I decided to get a reading from this guy. And I'd already gotten a reading from another person who was focusing on the 28th. That was a significant thing was going to happen between me and this girl. So I started getting all these things, and I was like, okay, now it's time to stop focusing on that. I've got the answers. Let go and forget it. The only thing that freaked me out was this last week at 26s everywhere I went. I remember I went down to Walmart. I have a tendency to walk to Walmart, and I buy my weights to bring them home, which can be a workout in itself because I have to walk from Walmart over to the street to catch my bus. It's about 5 or 6 blocks. So this last week, I actually went down on Thursday. I got a 45-pound plate, and on Friday, Friday I got a 45-pound plate, and then on Saturday. And then I got into a situation where I'm going, oh, shoot, on Saturdays the bus doesn't run on that one side, so I'm going to have to sit there and walk this thing completely over there. What I did was, instead of bitching about it, I just looked at it as a challenge and said, well, let's see what happens, because I got a big bag of groceries, too, so it's pretty much leveled out. Do our thing, right? So
right.
I came up there, and I sit there, and I got about halfway up, and I tried to see how far I can actually walk before I got to put them down. So I put
mm-hmm.
So I got to this one spot. I'm sitting down. And I tell people, I don't care what anybody says, when it's a very spontaneous situation where I go walking and I get this notion just to sit down and take a break, and I look up and I see a number, I see that as a very positive sign. Now, if I'm
mm-hmm.
looking for the numbers, like I'm walking down the street looking for 26s, that's me trying to conjure up basically a sign to justify my actions or focusing on something I shouldn't be focusing on, because I shouldn't have to do anything to make a sign happen. That should happen spontaneously. So I'm going down through. So I sit in front of this house. I look up. I'm going, oh, shoot, 20. It's 206. Okay, my mind's going, it's a sign, but I don't have to feed into it because it means something's about to happen. So I went
right.
down. I got to the bus stop. As I get to the bus stop, I sit down waiting for the bus, and two cars, almost like right after each other, both had license plates with 206. Okay, I just happened to look up going, oh, that's crazy.
Right.
Or I was on the bus, and it's like, it's 12:26, you know. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I got it, guys, but can you guys go a little bit further and give me the insight? But then I started getting a very strong prompting, because what I did was, at the time I saw the signs, I also focused on what I was thinking about at that time. And I was kind of like getting a little irritated because I'm like, okay, I want her to come by. We've had this situation where we're not talking. I'm not really sure why. I feel like in some ways there's a lot of things that are going on that I want to get confirmation for because I see them. I feel them. It's like having somebody walk by your shop, okay? Not the idea of seeing them, but also feeling them. The energy, the focus, that kind of stuff. Teaching people how to listen to their abilities, their heart, will actually give it a better answer than anything else physical. And that's what I saw. And it's kind of crazy, too, because it's been a couple of times I'll be doing readings in the shop. And
mm-hmm.
When I do relationship counseling for people, I use examples from my own life of certain things that are happening. And there was been like 3 or 4 times where I'll be talking about this girl, and then she'll walk by. And then my clients I'm working with, my clients will go, that's crazy. I said, what? We were just talking about that, and she walks by.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy looked at me and he said, this might sound crazy, man, but he said, I felt like she really wanted to come in here. She's really drawn to you. I said, okay, you can't get any better confirmation when people start expressing things to you that you don't even know, because they don't have any expectations. They have no expectations. There's, why would they lie to you, especially if they don't know anything about the whole thing? It doesn't benefit them anyway, because here I'm doing work for them. That benefits them, and they get that information. But it was kind of the idea that when we speak when we speak things out of our mouths, when we're very passionate about those things, they will happen. And I was because I've had a lot of people who do signs, but they don't look at the signs correctly. They look at those signs to justify a decision they've already made. So looking at the sign for what it is, it may be prompting them to change course or change their perception on the whole thing, and they're not allowing that to happen. And it's like your situation. You might have a guy that you might really kick off with, and he'll move it promptly, or maybe you have a little, you know, some people have to say, I don't like long-distance relationships. I think if you already have that physical connection already, where you've already been with each other, where you know each other, there's a physical connection, a spiritual connection that's been done in person.
Right.
Having a long-distance relationships are easy. They can actually be a little harder, because if you really care about someone that much, it's kind of hard to be away from them. But it's also the ideal that most of those people who don't do that don't really have confidence in themselves to say, this is, I said, it's like this. If you could be with somebody in a long-distance relationship for 6 months and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'd be with them for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you do the 6 months?
Yes.
Yeah, think about that.
Yeah, I did, because I've been in a kind of a long-distance relationship, and it just, I guess it didn't work out because there was no trust there, so I'll admit I'm carrying a baggage behind that.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be using that at all to justify what's going on, because once you let go of the past, you can see people for who they are now.
Yes.
The past is like almost having a, what we call that? I can't remember what they call that. The past is like having blinders on.
Yeah.
You can only see what your perception lets you allow you to see. But if you look at that person for who they really are, it changes your whole vision of the whole thing.
It really does. Like when I just ended a relationship earlier this year, February, and like he's my ex, but he continues to call me. It's crazy. He won't leave me alone. But I won't talk to him. I don't take his calls anymore. You know, I'm like, leave me alone. And
right.
It's crazy because when I think about, like, wanting to talk to him or feel myself missing him a little bit, another thought will pop into my head about all of the wrong things he did to me in our relationship and how he made me feel. And it's just like something's kicking in, like, are you crazy? Remember this? Remember that? You know, at the time, I was too blinded by love to, I guess, to do anything about it, I guess, because I just really wanted to believe that he loved me as much as I loved him. But he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that now, and I'm okay with, you know, knowing that now. And I know that him calling me is just a way for him to, I don't know, try to get back in with me so he can continue to do those things to me.
Yeah, the guy should figure it out on his own. The idea, if you got to do that much work, what's the point?
Yeah.
Trying to talk to someone into something that you want, not really taking consideration of what they want.
Yeah, he's a very messed up person. He's a totally messed up person.
Have you ever come to terms of what actually, why you attracted this person into your life when you did?
It's crazy because if you'd have told me I would end up with him, I never would have believed you because of our relationship. Like we kind of grew up together, you know, and when we began talking, it was just as friends. He was a good friend for me. I was, when I first moved to South Carolina, so many people had betrayed me and stabbed me in the back and left me and my kids for dead, basically. And he was like my only friend, somebody I talked to. And I think because he was there for me when nobody else was, is how I fell in love with him, you know, because he was there for me. And he was a friend to me first. He really was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, once he realized he had me, I guess, quote unquote, that's when everything else went to hell. I've tried to leave him several times, only for him to be able to talk his way back into my life, you know? And he's a lot like my dad. He's almost the spitting exact person my father is. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's literally almost dead on. And me and my sister, we talked about it, and I said, I don't know. I said, it figures I will fall in love with someone who's just like that man, you know, because I grew up in an abusive household. And
right.
So I think that may be part of the reason, not necessarily why I attracted him, because like I said, we started out as friends, and there was no intentions on us being romantically involved at all.
Mm-hmm.
At least on my point. So, and just one day it hit me like it's like a light bulb flipped in my head that I knew I fell in love with him. I said, "Oh my God!" I remember the day.
I'm just saying with the situation and stuff. It's one of those simple things, okay? It's the ideal of what you attracted was your father, but it's also looking at the individual. And how that was presented to you, and how he's sitting gone. Because if you look at the situation, a lot of times when we have our relationship with our parents, when we're very young, they're usually good. Somewhere along the line, it changes, and I think it's the ideal that they feel threatened, so they take it out on you. It doesn't justify it anything. But if you look at the situation with the boyfriend you're talking about, everything was going great until he felt threatened, and then he started controlling. As long as things were going his way, he was good. As soon as something came out of the ordinary that was challenging to him, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's the challenge brings on to escalate things. On his part, the idea were to get back where he felt like he had control in the first place. It's an illusion. It's like drugs.
Yeah,
there is
that
no
makes
point.
Sense.
There
was controlling.
No point of control.
He was very controlling.
There's no point of control. Yeah, there's no point of control. It's an illusion, but they're going to find that. It's like a drug. You take a drug for the first time, you get addicted to it, where you're always looking for to get that high again. You just never get there. It's the same thing here. It's like most guys are having problems with these situations. It's also society, too, has a tendency to prompt it and also have a tendency to enable them to keep doing the same thing over again. Like women have a tendency to go, well, you know, he's been through a hard time in his life and blah, 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 blah. Not realizing all they're doing is enabling him to keep doing the same thing. And then as the relationship progresses, when he feels like you guys are on the same level, that's when he feels the most threatened.
Yeah.
He's a contradiction for what we're actually looking for, but you also have to look at yourself. I've seen a lot of girls who have a tendency to go, you know, I don't want to deal with, like they'll sit and go, I need a guy who makes $50,000 a year. My answer to that whole thing is saying, why don't you deal with your own financial insecurities instead of attracting someone to make you feel secure? Because what you're going to do, you're going to attract either a workaholic, or you're going to attract a guy who's a workaholic but also abusive. He'll take control of your life because you refuse to.
Right.
So you look at your situation, sometimes we have to, the hardest thing is to come up with our own realizations and go, you know something, I hate to admit this, but then again, in the process of attracting something, it was something I didn't want to deal with, so I thought if I attract someone else, that's why you should always look at your list to make sure that you are the list. If you're looking for a caring, happy, joyful person and all this stuff that goes along with it, take a look at yourself and say, am I those things too? Because like attracts like, and if you don't admit that, the positive thing about it is you can look at the list, and those are definitely the things you desire.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't the list, doesn't mean you can't become the list and become those characteristics that you want so badly, because you're attracting someone in your life to be those things.
Well, I tell you that.
You're allowing yourself to be that too.
I think that relationship was meant to be, because coming out of it, I actually feel like a stronger person. Like, I do. Because I moved to South Carolina with so many good intentions, and I was that happy. And you said something earlier about if you think it's going to happen, if you put it in you, it's going to be that. But it wasn't like that when I moved to South Carolina. I had nothing but good intentions, good feelings, happy thoughts. Everything is going to go great. And literally from the moment I got here, pretty much, it all fell apart. I mean, it literally, like, fell apart. And, you know, it was the family that made it fall apart. I moved down here
That's
to be
saying.
With...
Look at the situation. Look at the connection. You're attracted to a guy in your life like your father. And you wonder how come the family was part of falling apart because your family already fell apart. You attracted someone's life. And I'm just saying, sometimes my parents are the same way. They're looking at the situation from their perception of what they've been through, but they still not allow me to make my own decisions.
See, he was my friend during the whole time that my family was betraying me and my children. Like, it was crazy. I mean, I thought this was my blood. You know, you're supposed to have my back. Instead, they were the ones that was, I guess, digging a hole for my grave, you know, like celebrating every misfortune I had, things like that. And, like, where I had nobody, he
All
was
I was
my...
saying was it was the idea of the family. It was the first time the family made any kind of gesture in what they did to you, finally. It was the ideal, because basically what I did was, that's why I don't live in Ohio any longer. I live in Colorado. But there was something prompting me to come here, too. And I sat there and said, okay, I'm going to go there, because it just seemed like it's a better place to go. I did the whole freaking thing. It was putting it out there. And then a situation happened that actually brought me here, and I didn't spend any money either. That was kind of cool. And it was just one of those things that fell into place. And I was here once before. And I made the mistake, okay, to go home thinking that people had changed. They would be more supportive because I was actually more successful. And it was kind of amazing when I went back. And things didn't happen the way I wanted them to. Next time I was living with my mom. And then my finances and everything else started going downhill, too, to the point where it was like, okay, they're never going to change. They're never going to accept me for what I do. So what I needed to do at that moment, where do I feel like that happens? Or it already has happened. And then I came, and I had another opportunity to come here. So I came back here again. And now I have an apartment. I have a shop. I have a business. I have a couple things. I have a gym in my freaking apartment.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of surprising in some ways because it was just going on Amazon and finding all kinds of stuff. But there's been moments where I'll find some really good products at some really good prices, and I'll sit there and question it and say, okay, if I get this, will I have the money will I have the money for the rent by the end of the month? And I didn't realize at that moment when I do those kind of things, I'm actually putting more doubt into the whole thing and actually putting a state there where my finances could get a whole lot worse. So then I change my mind and go, okay, I look at the situation, I get away from my family, getting away from the whole situation, and looking where I'm at, and look what I've already accomplished. And I get my mind back, I get my mindset back, and then I always have a tendency, I'm always, like, you know, never behind anymore. And I used to be like that all the time. So I was like trying to figure out, could it be something where I've been around my family so much, I don't feel like I deserve it. So I started telling myself, I deserve what I desire. And then started finding books on anything I could to change my perception that when my family creeped in to actually use the information or some meditation or something to make them creep back out. Might sound crazy, but...
You know, it's funny that you say that because I'm in a similar situation. I'm originally from Maryland, well, from D.C., and I had this big feeling that I had to leave D.C., like it was just in me to leave. I wasn't sure where I was going, but I just knew I had to leave. So my mom's family's from South Carolina. We came down here for a funeral. So I said, okay, you know. Why don't I move to South Carolina? You know, me and my sister used to spend our summers down here. We used to have a great time. So I thought it would be a great place to raise my kids. You know, it's not the big city of South Carolina. It's quiet, laid back, et cetera. But I got down here, and the family I had here, they wrecked my soul. That's a good way. They wrecked my soul. And so now I'm making plans to move back to Maryland. To be with family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just amazing that you said that, because I'm going to be living with my mom until, you know, I can, I guess, get back up on my feet up there. And,
uh-huh.
you know, I've lived with my mom before, and it was never a pleasant experience. And I'm just trying to do what I did before and be positive and, you know, just
mm-hmm.
not hold any negativity to it and just go with it.
Yeah. I used to live in Rockville.
Oh, my mom lives in Germantown.
Well, I used to live in Germantown and Montgomery Village and Gettysburg and Rockville.
Okay.
I used to go to a place with, I think they changed it now, but it used to be called Lake Forest Mall.
No, Lake Forest is still there.
And then we had White Flint. I used to go to White Flint, which I thought was kind of weird.
Yep, that's still there.
And then spent a lot of time in Bethesda, too.
Yep. I graduated from school out there.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I went to John F. Kennedy.
I lived there off and on for 8 years. And it was really nice.
I used to hang out at all the malls you talk about.
I thought it was great. Cause, I mean, I was sitting to say the idea of convenience. That was definitely one thing about that situation. It was very convenient.
Well, yeah, and, like, I'm just getting tired of living here. I'm tired of the things that go on here, and, like, career-wise and money-wise, I'm not going to be able to get ahead here or do anything more than what I'm doing. And that's just
mm-hmm.
how it is here.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy right now. All this craziness, man. It seems like Mercury's going retrograde, and it's like driving me nuts with communication.
Yeah, Mercury.
I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to get things to go here. Now, I'm actually having confidence with it too, because this girl I was telling you about, I haven't talked to her in a while either. And it says when you have a Mercury retrograde, it usually messes with communication. But people who haven't been communicating, it has a tendency to create opportunities when they start communicating again. So I was looking forward to that one. I've known this girl, and it's one of those things where you look at people and the situations and go, okay, this is a girl I would normally not date. But then again, when I put the word out and the idea of focusing on what I wanted right at this time, what do I desire? And it came to me very quickly as a wife. So therefore, what I've used going out with and that kind of stuff like that, and then attracting to something totally different made a whole lot of sense. You know, you start thinking about the situation. You're not asking for the particular, like, dating somebody. You're actually looking for to marry somebody. So that changes the whole foundation. So I was sitting, you start looking at certain things. I looked at her one day, and she's a very pretty girl. But there was also some similarities you just can't get over it. Like we talk about, these are the true symptoms of signs, just being aware, okay, of looking at somebody who, she's 26, that's an 8. And I was starting to notice, I started seeing a lot of 26s, which when you bring them down to a single digit, they're 8s. 8 is infinity. You're looking for something in a relationship that's going to be forever. But not just the idea of finding something forever. Most of the times when you find a significant other, you've had lifetimes with them before. So it's a continuous going forward kind of thing. Okay? So that's what
mm-hmm.
I got. And then I had a person tell me, she goes, there's a significant sign between the two of you. It's the Justice card and the figure 8, which actually the Justice in the tarot deck is an 8. So I was like, okay. And I talked to her a couple of times, and then one day I asked her, she has a 16-month-old son. So I was asking what his name was. His name is Justice. That's 2 signs. And then she was helping me for a while. We'd talk a lot. And then she started helping me. At that time, I was going to put a shop together. When her son came in, I was sitting there talking to her. And I'm like, this is really good. There's something about her that's very familiar. But then I looked at her son, and he was not just the name Justice, but he also was wearing a shirt with a figure 8 on it, which I had seen twice before. That's 3 signs. When you look at those kind of significant, those kind of signs, one after another, when you see things in threes,
mm-hmm.
You're getting a sign. You're getting some kind of prompting.
Let me ask you a question about that. Like, my birthday is June 5th. So, like, I just see, like, the 605 or 65, like, all over the place. Like, I even had a phone number. It was 605-1805. And I just was like, you know, it's something about me and my birthday, I suppose, that I just see this number. Like, I've had employee IDs that was like 0605 or, you know, 065. It was just my birthday is always popping up.
Well, fives are very significant anyway. When you start seeing fives is basically talking about a major change. Almost like a major rumbling is coming through your life, major changes. I mean, it's a dramatic change in your life.
Well, my daughter's birthday is 5505.
Yeah, that's a major change in your life. She must have made a really impact on your life.
She did.
In some kind of way. And almost to the point she still does.
She does.
But I'm saying, but also what they say is when you're in the situations of the 555, then most people say, ooh, a dramatic change is going to happen in my life. Most people think negative. So they'll start focusing on negative things. But what in my angel book, it actually says, the more positive that you focus on, the more positive your thoughts are, that major rumbling and major changing, no matter what it is, can still have a positive impact, but it's based on on your perception. What are you focusing on at that time, you know?
Okay.
What are you thinking? If you start thinking about the worst-case scenario, the worst-case scenario is what you're going to get. See, I've been focusing on this situation. I saw all the signs, and then one day I just said, what all the signs mean is to have faith in the situation and yourself, that you've actually manifested exactly what you wanted, to let go and just allow it to happen. Even, I was doing a reading for a lady one night, with a guy on the show, and the guy said, well, I feel like something's about to happen. What should I do? And it came to me so clearly and saying, nothing. Okay, right now, I just did an order where it's October 22nd, 2013. The first three numbers are 2222. 222 also is another representation, which I just saw, which means the things that you've been focusing on, the manifestations you've been working with, you should start seeing things that means they're about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen this girl for about a week or so. I've been kind of worried, going, where's she at? You know, what's going on? People keep saying, this is a destiny thing. This is going to happen, so get over it. It's going to happen, so stop. And I was sitting here today going, I would love for her to come by. I would love for her to come by and talk to me, but I was also saying, I would love for her to come by, but this would just happen the way it's supposed to, because I already have a date. But they started seeing that her basically coming forward and saying, this is what I want. So this is a period of where she's going through that realization, too. If you take that away from her, then you might actually deter the whole thing from happening in a positive way. So I saw her today. I saw her on the other side go down on the sidewalk. I'm sitting there going, I haven't seen her in about a week and a half. And all of a sudden I started focusing on that, just the ideal of what should start, something should start happening now. And then I saw her walk down the other side. And it's the kind of thing that I watch people a lot too. I also pay attention to the connection. And I noticed that when she was going down there, this is one thing you have to take in consideration when you're dealing with people. If you have a person that, like, say that like in my case, I have a shop, and she comes by the shop, and she keeps her face fixated straight forward. That's an intentional move. That means she's avoiding you. But it also can also be a confirmation, meaning that she does. What people do not avoid people that they don't have feelings for, good or bad. And so I started seeing a person walking down the street who's fidgety, who's trying to keep their face and their focus straightforward, but something is prompting them to look back. I've seen her do it a couple times. Well, my guys will go, stick your hat at the door right now and see what you see. And I did. And when I did that, I saw her go by, and she was so fixated, like she wasn't trying to prompt that she didn't, was not making any kind of notions to even look my way at all. So when I stuck my head out the window or out the door, at that moment, I set my head at the door, listen to your guides. Because that's exactly what she did. She turned around and looked. And I'm like, you know, it's like the situation. People are out in the streets like that, and they keep their faces straight too. Human beings cannot keep their focus, especially when they're out and about with the ideal of that kind of environment, because everything's catching your attention. Everything, but also you have to also be notice of everything too, because you're out in the world, so you have to take... We always take notice of everything around us. It's like a protective thing. And when people refuse to look at you or anything, those are intentional moves of some kind of avoiding something. So you have to sit there and stop for a minute and go, okay, what does it feel with me? You know, what do I feel? And so at that time, I got a very confident feeling to where I just forgot all about it. Said, okay, that's the prompting or the sign I was looking for, that things are starting to progress in my direction again. So you got to let go. That's what I told the other guy, too. You're getting a prompting, so let go of the whole thing. Because the first time you ask any kind of questions, aren't you putting doubt on that? And you don't want to do that.
Right.
It's some crazy stuff with a lot of things that can drive you up the freaking walls. But what are you going to do?
Live your life, and that's all you can do.
Well, that's the thing I tell people right now, too. It was hard for me to take the advice, too, as well. You're looking at a thing going, you can't have someone share your life if you're not living it. Because you're too focused on what they're going to do, what they're not going to do, but you're not focusing on what you should be doing. Some people get crazy with you, too, on that stuff, too, going, because a lot of people think we should be fixated on everything and everyone. And I'm saying, no. You should be focusing on, you have things to do. You're here to make a difference, not to sit there and worry about somebody for what they're going to do. Okay, sorry.
Well, you make a lot of good points, and you know, it's crazy that you're like, I guess, this psychic person, but you seem like you're a little intimidated by this woman that you like.
No, actually, my friend, I had a friend of mine bring it to my attention. She goes, you know something? I know how you are. You're very straightforward, very honest. You speak your mind. How come you don't do that with her?
Right. You seem a little intimidated.
But I do know that when I'm actually being myself and just putting it out there, that's when we actually sit there and have the longest conversation. So, you know, it's like you want something spontaneous, right? So here you are contemplating on what you should or shouldn't say.
So you're holding you guys up because of your insecurities.
Yeah, so when you say, what was the last channeling I got, was the lady said, I said, so what you're saying is I should let go of it and forget it. And she goes, exactly. And when you do that, she'll show up at your door so freaking quick, it'll probably freak you out. If it doesn't freak you out, it'll still be a little intimidating at first. Because I actually did that one day. I was sitting there focusing. I got this book by John Randolph Price. The book's called Empowerment. You can be, do, or have anything you want. And the main name on the book is Empowerment. It's by the guy named John Randolph Price. In the book, it actually has a step-by-step how to manifest something. And so I did that. And I put it in a very personal way where I wasn't asking for things. I was actually visualizing how it would play it out. Like you have a little television screen in your head, and it says on the front of it, says, I choose. Then you write in after what? After the I choose, you write down what do you choose to do, right? What do you choose for what to happen now? So I was sitting there focusing on making $200 that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also focusing on her coming by and sitting down and talking to me in the shop. And I remember the visualization was actually like I'm talking to her. You need to come by the shop, and you need to sit down. We need to talk. It's open up. I like you, and I think you like me, so let's sit here and talk about that, right? Well, about 4 hours later, after I put it out there, she actually came to the shop, and her exact words were, okay, I'm here. I'm sitting there going, okay, and that is kind of intimidating when you do a visualization, just like I was actually talking to her 4 hours earlier about why she needed to come to the shop. And then she comes to the shop saying, I'm here. I was like, okay, well, sit down. Let's sit down and talk. So I just kind of, it made it easier. At the same time, I was a little intimidated at first. But then she's standing there, I'm going, okay, come in. So she came in, she stood there. I said, you can sit down too. So sit down in the chair. So we sit down there. It's almost like as soon as she hit the chair and she was really relaxed, it's almost like she got really calm. So a lot of things make sense too. Like right now, I just ordered something. And I started looking at order forms, and 26s are all through them. And I was sitting there going, okay, that's great. So this is, you know, the confirmations are there. The order I had was actually a book on healing. There was also certain things I started noticing, too, by being calm and being aware that we both have the same head injury. on the same side of our heads. We also have a different perception on cars that we don't feel like that. We feel like society's overreacted with when it comes to vehicles, that we don't need them. So
mm-hmm.
when you start having things like that in common with people, those are things you just don't have in common with everybody, you know? And the idea of talking about true love, where I felt like me speaking my mind very, very frankly of her saying she doesn't believe in true love, but looking at a person who's sincere in what they say would take it more seriously. Something she needed to hear at that moment, too, as well, to realize
right.
it does exist. People can still have infractions later on when they start feeling the same way, which means they're still hanging on to some insecurities, but we also have to take in consideration what is the conversations that have already happened, like me saying true love does exist, could also be the catalyst that pushes her over the edge of making that decision to embrace something that she already knew was there in the first place. But there also has to be that space, so that, you know, the idea of things that have been happening lately, space-wise and that kind of stuff, makes perfect sense for certain things to go on.
Hmm.
It does make you kind of like going, I get it. Why can't she just get it now? We're supposed to be connected. I know how everybody has their own realizations on their own times.
Well, everything got to happen in its own time, too.
Yeah, I wish we didn't know any kind of perception of time, but we would never be aware of that. It would just happen. And then when it did happen, we would never say, hey, I've seen people do that, too. They don't realize getting impatient can actually create blocks to push something further away. And that's what I saw with her. I was just like, chill, relax. I've noticed I've talked to her about a lot of things. I even talked to her about the signs. And she was, like, wide open to the whole thing, just listened to everything I said. It was, you know, certain things, and those can be confusing parts in your life, too. Because you're sitting there going, okay, she got it. We had conversations back then, and she got it, but she still distanced herself. So do we really need to know why? I don't think so. I think it's one of those things of just having a realization that we're supposed to give everybody space. We're supposed to give, well, not space, but respect people for what they're going through. That when they do go through what they got to go through and learn what they got to learn, they always have a tendency to gravitate back to the people that always gave them the respect to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you look at those things, and it's amazing how come people don't have the confidence in themselves and go, okay, just let it go, or should you freak out over this kind of thing? Because my thing is right now is getting frustrated because I've actually had her come by the shop so many freaking times where she refuses to stop, even asking her to talk to me, and she just zipped by like she didn't hear what I said. And then walking around going, what the hell is she mad at me for? When basically maybe she's not mad at you at all. You're threatening her when she sees you. As in, if she acknowledges you, she also has to acknowledge how she feels. That's why she has a tendency to come up with some weird excuses, too. They just see her job by the shop. But also at the same time, you know, as I've seen these woman infractions and going, okay, what was that all about? But when you let go and you listen to your guides, like one day I was like, I said it was storming. And it was about a storm was coming in. And I got this prompting to go to the freaking store. I said, why do I want to go to the store? I should just go home. It's getting cold. I'm wearing shorts. So I decided to go to the store anyway. You never know. I might need something when I go there. And I didn't realize the prompting was actually my guides going, I want you to see the synchronicity in your life and the people you're with, and the people that are in your life. So I went up there, went to the store, got my little thing. And as I was coming back, here that girl come. And I was literally looking down because she was wearing a different outfit I'd never seen her wear before. I was looking at her. I'm going, no, that can't be her. That's got to be somebody else. As I'm getting closer, going, oh, I can't believe this. It's her. And what I'd done earlier that day was I put a prompting or an intention out there. I wanted to say happy birthday to her. And boy, I thought about that too many times because I could tell. As soon as she came up there, I realized it was her. I had to say something. Hey, how are you doing? It was your birthday yesterday. It didn't come off that easily. I was like, so, hey, you know, something. It was your birthday, right? I was like, what the hell's wrong with me? And I finally got it out and said, it was your birthday yesterday. And I said, I'm sorry I didn't say happy birthday yesterday, but every time I saw you, we were always with somebody. Because I took a deep breath to get that out. You're always with somebody, so I didn't want to interfere or be disrespectful in those situations. But now I want to sit there and wish you happy birthday. Happy birthday. At that time, she seemed like she was still cruising because as I was turning around to try to keep up with her, she I said she was almost like 5 feet from me. I said, so you got, sometimes people got to look at things and go, why did she find me threatening? Might be a good thing. Because she talks to everybody. I've seen her talk to everybody. And all of a sudden she stopped talking to me. My guys brought a vision in my head years ago when I liked this one girl. And I used to get pissed off of that one too. We used to work in a warehouse. She's always talking to everybody. Very sociable. She tried to claim off, I'm very shy. Okay. But he used to take me out to see that. And a friend of mine looked at me one day and he said, did you ever think about the reason she avoids you? Because she does like you and she doesn't know how to deal with it. So she talks to everybody else who's non-threatening in that situation. All you got to do is say, thank you guys for talking to that person or angels. Because it made perfect sense. Maybe that situation back then didn't happen because this one is going to, and I learned something on the idea of letting go and allow it to happen. I lost my freaking coaster. Anyway.
So well, sweetie, I'm about to go to bed. I'm going to go to sleep and lay down. I got to
really?
Get up
you
at 6.
Get...
Huh?
What do you do? What do you do now?
I'm a 911 dispatcher.
A what?
I'm a 911 dispatcher. I got called into work tonight. It's not really my shift.
911? Oh, wow. I never met one of those before. So they do, yeah. So they do exist. There's no people trying, you know,
yes,
what's your computer?
They do exist.
Well, it's really nice talking to you. I don't want to keep any longer and stuff like that. I'm just saying, from what I told you and everything else, expect the unexpected, but also look at something really positive.
Yeah, I appreciate your advice. Mm-hmm.
So definitely give us a call and tell us how things are going, or you can call me sometime for a private reading. I do phone readings all the time.
Okay,
I'm with those PayPal people all the time. That's why I'm always giving the website, because it's basically all designed where all you got to do is, since we have special rates on when people listen to the radio show, we have a donation button that people can use that.
Okay.
So whenever. Yeah, PayPal. If you ever go back on Blog Talk Radio, I mean, I can give you the information if you like. But
you can give it to me.
All right. Then we'll all go to bed. Because you're in South Carolina, so that's 2 hours difference for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's almost 2 o'clock for me.
Yeah, the information is like this. It's www.psychic. It's one long word. It's Psychic X Journeyman. But the X is capitalized.com.
Is it an X or an EX?
No. It's Psychic X Journeyman. And the X, which is between psychic and journey, is capitalized.
Okay. I got your website.
And my phone number, what is my phone number? 740-500-8863.
Okay.
All right. Well, you have a good night, and we'll talk to
thank
you later.
Thank you.
No
problem. Have a good evening, and good luck.
You too.
All right.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. All right, guys. That's the rest of our show. So, therefore, thank you for all joining us. Thank you all the listeners out there. Thank you for all the people who called in. And join us tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the morning for another show. It's a 90-minute show. And we will be talking about Atlantis and doing readings as well. So we'll talk to you guys later. And like we said before, if you want to get a private reading from me for only $1 a minute, go to the website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. The email address is psychicxjourneyman@live.com. Or you can call me at 740-500-8863. Or you can actually, if you're in the Colorado area, Colorado Springs, in that area, that kind of stuff, or even Denver or whatever, and you have a tendency to frequently come to Manitou Springs, we have a shop in Manitou Springs called the Mystic Closet Psychic Shop at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue, right across from Mushroom Mondays and right next to the Flying Eagle T-shirt shop. So join us tomorrow or join us at the shop, whichever one it goes, but we'll be glad to see you. All right, so if you're looking for insight, we got it right. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And give love where love is given. And we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good night. Bye-bye.